The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What are we talking about here? Orgy? Is it a human sacrifice of some kind?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I've studied the human mind. I've learned how to read it and ultimately control it.
Fascinating. I can't wait to read it.
It's $14.99 on my website.
Okay.
Plus shipping and handling.
Even if I buy it here,
it ships from somewhere else, isn't it? And I've been handling it.
Paul Perillo.
Very attractive man. Can fit a whole octopus in his mouth. Sort of an animal magnetism about him.
And Andy. And Andy?
Do you have any idea what it's like, Tim, to be up to your elbow in a zebra's vagina?
Andy Hart.
What does it make you think of?
I guess it kind of makes me, think of your penis.
Then you get it.
Eric Scalavino.
You know, that is so like you. You call a guy a douche and you get your first museum show out of it.
For now, anyway.
It smells like cabbage on this floor.
That's the smell of dead dreams.
I go to the clubs at night and people are like, hey, who's wearing the coleslaw? Do you know how hard it is to get laid when you smell like coleslaw?
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh man, they are planning one hell of a party.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. We are at Gillette Stadium, the keepers of the Patriots flame and the football flame.
While despite the rest of the world urinating on the flame every time we look up.
Right, but we're here and we're going to keep hope alive. What's here on
PFW in
Progress. What's the matter, Paul?
Nothing. I'm having some issues here. Is my mic on?
Technical issues? Yeah, your mic's on.
Yeah, I can't hear.
I can hear you.
Low, though, doesn't it? I can hear Andy.
Here we go. Just another day at the factory.
In case you didn't know, this is an amateur podcast.
All right, well, it's PFW in Progress as we do every Tuesday and Thursday in the off season.
So did my son today. You know, he actually has hair that needed
with
cut.
These very special off season editions. We're here at 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, and webradio@patriots.com is the email address. So, you know,
address?
We still have a lot of emails
coming
in. We
don't have an ad, it's just address.
So we're going to be, you know, still focusing on the draft today because a lot of, you know, housekeeping still needs to be done. People have, you know, questions that they still want us to answer.
We need to figure out which undrafted free agents they've already talked to, because apparently everybody's doing it. Contracts are already worked out for all.
Right. By the way, I thought it was funny. Remember in our draft show, Scott Zolak stopped by and made sure everyone knew that he, you know, was the guy that picked Nate Solder.
Who they told who they were going to pick.
Well, apparently on Patriots Today, on Patriots.com, he has a sit-down with Nick Caserio of the first 2 minutes of which he takes up telling Nick Caserio he, you know, was right on Nate Solder, and they actually have a little inset with Nick Caserio's reaction listening to the tape of Scott Zolak making that call. It's
when,
you know,
the parade
is still going on for this guy.
When did that all-access pre-draft show take place? Was that the night before the draft?
Yes. Wednesday.
So
Wednesday
I
night.
Could have told you Nate Solder that day, too.
You know, so
the rumblings were out of Nate Solder by
that
point.
There?
Oh, yeah.
Where? I didn't hear any.
I did. Really? Had I gone on that day, I probably would have said, it looks like they're going to get closed out of pass rushers, which is what Zoe said, and it looks like they're probably going to fill a need with Nate Solder.
And why didn't you say anything to us?
I didn't see you guys.
Mr. Draft.
Didn't we have a radio show that
Yeah,
day?
I didn't want to get in trouble.
Oh, so you heard it from an official source?
No, rumblings.
We're allowed to talk about rumblings.
Mm. Yeah. I
know which rumblings you're talking about,
either.
And I think you did the right thing.
I'm completely in the dark.
Yeah.
I'm always hesitant to put too much into rumblings, but
yeah.
Well, the rumblings were out there.
Yeah.
Where did you hear the rumbling? In the men's room?
No, just
in my pants.
Oh.
But so, I just think it's funny
and,
that
and
he
you
is,
heard it too, Eric?
Yeah.
He is blowing his own horn quite a bit over something that I don't think he just pulled out of
Oh, that mid-air. I have no doubt on.
I don't think he just reached up and grabbed. You know, Nate Solder's the guy.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I think that is because I've heard them on the radio when people are calling up and they're asking them about various prospects that have been.
Is this every guy? Day, his name's Cam Newton in Zozo. Yeah. I don't know. I've never heard
every
of him.
Day names for the last 2 and 3 months, and Robert Quinn was one of them. They're rifling through the draft books to
they
look
didn't
up.
Know the, who Quinn was?
They didn't know who any of these guys
that's
were.
That's even more ridiculous.
So they didn't know who Nate Solder was.
No.
That's for
they
sure.
were like Paul. They weren't sold.
Well, it kind of stinks because in any normal offseason, at this point, we'd be bringing in the rookies. They'd be having a little passing camp. There might be some veterans sprinkled in there.
That would have been last week. Would have already happened.
Yeah.
We'd be talking about that. I would have fallen in love with somebody and declared him a Pro Bowler.
I'd have
or
been
fallen out of love with someone.
Right.
And
I either would have said
they can't play.
Markell Carter, your pass rush needs are solved, or that's Markell Carter.
I could have gone out and say who's making it look easy.
Right.
Right.
You
and
know? Then we would have told you who it actually was. Who
right.
was
So it's too bad, and just to bring everybody up to date, right now everybody's waiting for this Eighth Circuit Court to make a ruling on the stay. They were hoping it would be yesterday, but it didn't come, so no one's really holding their breath. I think the league would rather them not rule and just have things stand as they are until this June 6th hearing?
Third
hearing.
Yeah. So so it looks like, I mean, yeah, you're right. This is better. This is good news for the NFL because the NFL wants to keep lockout conditions, and the longer they go without making a decision on the stay, that the longer the lockout stays in place.
Right.
But then they have the appeal that they have to decide on, the full appeal, which is I think the June 3rd hearing. Would you assume that if the stay is lifted, if they go back to Nelson's ruling and allow the business to take place? Is that an indication of what they might do with the appeal?
You would think. I think they don't want to do anything. I was talking about this morning. I don't think the court wants to rule because I don't think they want to, rule on either side in a labor negotiation. You know, that gets back to that whole LaGuardia thing.
Yeah.
Which was ironic.
Because, as we already have seen, this will set a precedent. The NHL has already, said that they hope that the court rules in favor of the NFL because all these leagues will use this as precedent in the stuff that they do, and the court doesn't want to do that. They don't want to set that precedent, I don't think.
But Florio has speculated that now that the NHL has done that, he wouldn't be surprised if the NHLPA sends a friend of the court or whatever that acrobius mai or whatever thing document was, and they could start coming in. Baseball could support the owners, and then the MLBPA would send it, and all of a sudden – now you're basically ruling on all of professional sports because they all feel like they're tied in.
Right.
So you may be right that
they're all.
Isn't that their job to make tough decisions, to rule on things that most of us wouldn't want to have to rule upon?
Yeah, but the problem with these
leagues.
This is
the business you have chosen.
These leagues were granted an antitrust
exemption. Right.
And so now, when you rule, you have to rule based on law, and that rules against the leagues. If you're doing it straight on labor laws.
But isn't the exemption law?
Right. So then at that point.
So they're exempt.
Yeah, but when the courts do that, they expect these people to act as adults and now have a collective bargaining agreement between the two sides.
Right.
If the court has to come and do this every time, well, what are we granting you an exemption for? How do we rule on something we've exempted on? It puts the court in a tough position.
So why don't they just flat out tell them, get a deal done or you're effed?
That's what I was hoping for.
Like, I mean, I say that to my kids. If you two don't figure that out, I'm going to make a decision and neither of you will like it.
Right.
Give them that ultimatum.
But I think
you're both going to be crying in a minute.
But if you can do it so that both sides will cry, I think, in this case, both sides are willing to, if the court said that, play the bluff and say, okay, because we think you're going to rule in favor of us. So,
well, the owner shouldn't think that.
It's
their next win will be their first.
Well, yeah, because then if courts or Congress gets involved, then they could fix prices of tickets.
Right, that's what I'm saying. And you can make it so both sides are upset.
Right. Oh, absolutely, you could.
So, if that's their intention to drag their feet and try to, then they need to flat out say it. Tell them, enough of this forced mediation. It's going to be forced up your.
Right. So
sorry,
I don't know. It doesn't seem at this point either side is feeling the urgency, unfortunately.
And another Florio rumor that I came in asking you if you'd heard anything about was that if the NFL loses, the owners,
right,
that they're just going to cease operations, go out of business, essentially.
Yeah, I can't see
lock us all out.
Well, you can't see that, but we also said we couldn't see that they would get to a lockout. Then we couldn't see that they would get to a court situation. I mean,
I said that they would go to a lockout, but I didn't think it would affect games.
Yeah, the lockout was inevitable.
Yeah.
It was whether or not they're going to miss games. Now that seems I agree with you on that, Eric. Most people thought, well, they'll be it'd be a fake lockout. It'd be during the offseason.
Right, it won't affect it.
Now that's what I thought, and now everybody's really starting to think there's a distinct possibility that games are missed.
Right,
and that I don't think anybody thought that, you know, before say a year ago this time. But I think a lot of people thought the lockout was inevitable.
But I didn't though. I thought that they would realize the significance of what's taking place, and that they would be enough adults in the room to get it done on time without having to extend deadlines. You have a deadline for a reason. You're supposed to stick to it.
Fred and Eric calling the owners and players children.
Yeah.
Oh, they are. They're acting absolutely acting like that. It's a lot of immaturity going on in those discussions.
You know, Roberts looked very mature.
A lot of there might be an exception or two.
Right.
A lot of mistrust that is exacerbated by rhetoric. Mm. You know?
Yes. It's like politics.
Yeah.
They're all lying.
So
I mean, when what's his name from the NFL was tweeting, there was the tweet war going back and forth between, was it George Atala and
Aiello?
Yeah, and Aiello. I mean, that's seventh grade, right?
But that
there.
Annoys you.
You don't
right
go
there.
Around.
Aiello's another
that
one. To
stay
me
the
in this
F
whole,
out of it.
Absolutely
right.
Has not.
You know how Robert
shined.
Wants the lawyers out of it? I want people talking out of it. If you don't actually have any power to make a decision,
right.
Shut the F up.
And Roger Goodell, enough of. We need more negotiating, less litigation.
Yeah, where were you when the players wanted to negotiate two months ago?
You know, it's like when Fred and I, we always joke around about, you know, the guys who come out real strongly, you know, against violence against women.
Right.
Ooh, really controversial stance there.
Right,
you know?
Going out on a limb.
Rape
you know,
is bad.
I mean, we'd understand they need to get back and, you know, talk. We don't need you to tell us every 3 days. I mean, it takes two. You know, don't try to paint yourself. Stop. Both sides trying to paint yourself out to be the good guy.
Yeah, and I think the
just get it done.
They're underestimating the fans. They really think the fans can be
stupid.
Yeah, and led
What's
by the nose.
Truth? That's true.
With this type of PR spin, and I think in this case, the public is pretty savvy. You know, they know when they're being snookered. You know, they know when they're being snookered by both sides. You know, with the rhetoric and the not necessarily false claims, but half truths.
The one problem is they're
misleading
not, they're not overestimating the public's insatiable thirst for football. We're going to come back. We're suckers. We love football.
Yep.
So no matter what they do, how they screw us, when the games start in September or October or November, we're going to turn the TV on and watch the game.
Right.
And they're right. They got us by the cojones because we love the sport.
Right.
This isn't soccer in America. This isn't even hockey in America. You're not going to lose that many people because they love the sport.
Think about it even... Think about how much greater popularity football is to hockey.
Right.
It's the opposite ends of the spectrum. And even hockey came back.
Right. That's my point. Is if the
if hockey came back, you don't think the NFL is going to come back?
Right.
This
That's
is
why they
be
got us by the cojones.
This is going to be completely unaffected.
No, it is, but...
It's going to irritate people, and everybody's going to be upset about it and mad, and they're going to whine and bitch.
And threaten to
and
not watch
September
again.
On September 11th, if there's a game, they'll be there. Just like they would have been if there was nothing going on all offseason.
Right. So, you know, if
and they're not wrong, by the way. It's a great product. Go watch it.
If you want to talk lockout stuff, you know, we can. But I think draft is going to be the main thing we're going to talk about. A little bit of free agency just to prepare for it. Not that it's here, but what ifs. We'll talk about that. And got some kind of breaking news. I don't know if... he wanted me to discuss it, but I will anyway. Doc is leaving.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Doc is...
It's not breaking news to us because we've kind of known for a few days, but since the last show.
I don't. Right. Our listeners certainly don't know.
So lunch buyers will be lucky. He'll no longer steal lunches from them.
Right. But Doc is heading out west to Denver with his
Rocky
spouse, who will now be the breadwinner of the house.
Yeah, he acted like it was a tough decision. She's getting some job where she's going to make all kinds of money. He's going out there blind, doesn't have a job. And I'm
like, house husband.
What's the problem?
Right.
I mean, you're making plenty of money to live on.
Right.
You're going to be in a very nice area of the country.
Right.
Where's the tough decision?
Yeah, I don't think it was that. But I think he loves this, he said. He loves the job, and I'll let him speak for himself. But, you know, there is some mixed feeling. But we'll have a full month to make fun of Doc. Because he won't be leaving until June. So, but that's some breaking news. Kevin is,
and I hear he's going to try to, screw us, undercut us, compete.
Why is that?
You know, he wants to go to Denver and join the Broncos organization and start internet radio.
Well, I told him he should contact them. He said he already had.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's competition.
He said that right now that they're, you know, kind of on hold because of the whole lockout. I said, well, that's fine, but plant the seed. Let them know what they could be doing.
We'll crush them. They're not competition.
Well, they're not competition because their fans are their fans, and our fans are. We don't compete with teams off the field. We compete with the Red Sox, Celtics, Bruins, and Boston Blazers.
Not even the Revs?
Oh, the Revs, we don't compete with them. They're our sister team.
With an emphasis on sister.
Okay. All right. See now.
They play like girls.
Okay.
See now.
Okay. All right.
My guy Mansally's struggling this year. Have you seen it?
Is he?
He's got 0 goals and 1 assist on like 11 shots. No, I mean, you got to put the ball in the net.
Yeah.
Are you getting any silverware to that guy?
Silverware? You want the fine stuff?
Who's ordering juice? Hey. I didn't know that was an option.
I've had it like,
would you get it? If
3 weeks in a row now.
Yeah, I would get juice.
And look, it's got a lot of antioxidants and stuff. It's good for me.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I'm a mess. I'm under heavy medication.
You have issues. Puffy eyes.
Yeah, this is the worst time of year for me.
My allergies have been awful.
Really bad because, you know, we had all that snow in this area, and all of a sudden everything just bloomed at once. You know, my backyard, you know, went from being like this arid wasteland to, you know, a tropical forest in like a week. And everything is just like exploding out there, and it's
beautiful.
And I have allergies anyway, so they're really bad.
Has been really, really bad this spring.
I took Claritin in the morning, Claritin D, which is the stuff you have to show your driver's license for. And then I took another Claritin at night, which you're not supposed to do. I had these weird dreams last night. Oh, really weird.
You have to show your ID to get
Claritin? I had a dream that somebody kept going into my shed out back and stealing everything. And I put a lock on it, and they opened it with a crowbar. And it was just like in broad daylight, and like I was out screaming in my front yard. Doesn't anyone see this? Can't anyone help me? And they were like, you know, every day I'd go, you know, my leaf blower would be gone, then my lawnmower. And it was just like they were harassing me. It was a weird dream.
What the hell is that?
Lyndon Byers. Oh my
God. All right. webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. And a lot of emails. Should we get right to them?
Sure.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah, can't take a break. You don't have a producer.
Where did he go?
I think he went looking for a fork for me.
He said to me, he goes, you know, I'm kind of excited because Doc has left because now I can do whatever I want. That's... So I'm worried about that, you know.
I'm worried
that he's going to get promoted.
Well, I'm just excited because maybe now we'll have actually Day of Game Entertainment since that was Doc's area of expertise and we didn't, you know, have any.
All right.
We have Segways in the area, too, so we can get the mascot on a Segway, like I've always said.
This woman, weather person, has
nice rack.
Yeah,
and they're fake as can be.
You think so?
Yeah. But is she at New England Cable News?
Yeah.
We need to go there. Yeah, because they're like low but big. I'd like to see them naked.
All right. Alex writes in, no lie, I had my team, the Patriots, choosing Ryan Mallett for benefits of the team. Why? He will learn from the best QB ever, Tom Brady, the way I see it. Every other team drafted for next year. As for the Pats, they drafted for the future. Brady, I have you winning 2 more Super Bowls before your time is done. I love females, but I flip and love you guys. Please write back if this really gets sent to the Pats. P.S. I forgive you guys for the recent playoffs of using all those tricky plays.
Is this person addressing, like, the team?
I don't know.
So.
He sent it to Reb Radio, so.
Reb Radio? Ruh-roh, Raggy. It went to Reb Radio?
Reb Radio?
I mean, a lot, you know.
To talk football?
If you look at just the Mallett pick, definitely the Patriots are looking beyond 2011 with that pick. But I also think that when that came up, he was the best guy by far on their board, and they felt no other option but to pick him.
Yeah.
You know? It's that easy.
I think the bottom line is it sounds like Bill fell in love with the person. The thing that was supposedly the red flag, it seems like his conversations with him totally eased any of those fears. And everyone else was saying, well, he's got the great arm, he's NFL ready, pro-style system, all that. And as soon as you fall in love with or find a kindred spirit in the coach's son and he wants to watch tape, well, now you're right. It's ridiculous value. I'm not afraid of what everybody else is afraid of.
I was getting a little uncomfortable with that
with his post-game, post-draft remarks.
It was, you know,
it was over the, it was a little over the top.
As I said to Paul, it could be one of those preemptive strikes about how Chad Jackson diagnosed plays on the board better than anyone we've ever seen, and then we realized, wait, Chad Jackson doesn't know how to run any play. You know, I think sometimes they kind of try to sell us on some things, but if he was being honest and if he really believes all that other stuff is crap, which, by the way, the guy at Arkansas that I talked to, Garrick McGee, said the same thing. Never had a single problem, spent the last 3 years with him, is football ready, is dedicated to the team. He's the reason why we are at where we are as a program. He led, everybody followed him, all that. I mean, Arkansas is all in on him.
Yeah. Well, my prediction is if Mallett, you know, we'll have to watch very closely how Mallett does in practice and if and when he elevates to the number two. And if that happens, I predict, like, by the 2013 season, we'll be talking about maybe it's time to trade Brady and get a boatload of picks and set this team up for the next dynasty. People will be saying that.
It's a possibility.
Well, people including you?
No, but
I think he's already saying it.
We'll be fielding those emails and calls if he gets to the number two.
I don't think it'll take that long if he's impressive.
I think it'll be before that.
Alex and Philly, since the draft is over and most people have gotten or are currently getting over their PRD, which is short for pass rush depression, I want to talk about the eventual free agency. I'm not going to fool myself into thinking that we're going to get a top-tier pass rusher in free agency, and I personally don't want to see the team get some jag journeyman to fill the roster spot. It's obvious to me from the way that the team drafted that offense and not defense was a priority. So if we really are forsaking defense for offense, why not go all in and sign Sidney Rice and Chad Ochocinco? Adding those two guys would push Welker and Branch into the slot, and with our tight ends and running backs, our offense would be a juggernaut that would remind us all of 2007. If we average 40 or more points a game, then pass rush won't be an issue. Also, if you don't like that idea, what about getting a guy like Reggie Bush as a deep threat receiver? No. To me, he's always been more of a receiver with running back skills than a running back with receiver skills. What do you guys think? Okay, thanks. Love the show. Keep up the great work. Well, Bush is not taking the top off any offense.
Or defense.
But as far as the first premise, I don't believe that Belichick has forsaken defense for offense.
I don't either.
I don't either. I don't think.
No.
Yeah, I don't think you take a cornerback with the top, that coveted first pick in the second round if you're forsaking offense for defense. I do think.
Well, I don't think he does that. I don't think he forsakes anything for something else.
I think he looked at value, the word he always looks at.
Right.
He sets his board and he picks it. I mean, right. I think that it's as simple as that. I mean, you can't say that he's forsaking the defense like he doesn't care, you know, what he has on defense. I don't think that's – I mean, the last 2 years he's been predominantly – draft picks have been defense. So if that were true, I mean, just all of a sudden he just changed?
You know, let's face it. As good as that offense was last year, if they didn't address the offensive line and they didn't address the backfield, it could be taking a big step backwards.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know – maybe we're saying, well, the offense really didn't get better by those picks, but we don't know, but it could have gotten a lot worse if they didn't do it.
You had needs.
Yeah.
Because you lost potentially three running backs, and you lost potentially big chunks of your offensive line, depending on how the light thing. You already lost Neal.
Yep. Right.
Mankins.
Yeah. We don't know how Kazier's going to be.
Severe needs there. No question about it.
Gary.
Just getting back to the free agency thing, I want to... Paul, did you notice that people starting to promote some of the PFW favorites in the projection of free agency? Matt Roth had a big bio breakdown, perfect fit for the Patriots on
ESPN Boston.
Maybe ESPN Boston, maybe EEI.com. Somebody is doing like potential Pats.
No, didn't notice
Matt
it.
Roth and Cullen Jenkins was another one. Two guys that we've talked about.
Do we have to do everyone's legwork for them?
Yes. I'm okay with that.
Okay.
I'm not sure we can take credit for everything. I mean,
I didn't say everything.
Talking about free agents.
Paul and I have been talking about Matt Roth for about 6 years.
Well, yeah, but look at the available fit.
Wait a minute. No, wait a minute.
What?
Yeah, other guys that are far more perfect fits, like Tamba Ali.
We're only joking about taking credit for it. Let's get that out there.
I'm not.
But you're telling me that a guy that's obscure, who's been on the waiver wire four times in the last 2 years, like Matt Roth, Andy and I somehow have this obsession with him. That we think he could be a good fit here. Evidently, Andy, short arms, by the way.
Oh,
really? Is a problem with Matt Roth. I actually read a little.
Lobster arms?
Yeah, he has shorter. His arms are a little short for the position.
I
but
get
anyway.
The nod from Fred there. He really liked it.
but anyway,
T-Rex arms.
That's putting perfume
it's
on
not,
a pig.
It's not like we said Tamba Ali and Lamar Woodley. They'd make a lot of sense, and other people are writing that too. That would be all right. You're taking credit for the obvious. Matt Roth? Come on. Don't tell me that they didn't read that or see
Eric
that
had it
somewhere.
In PFW. Oh, it's not out yet, but in your PFW story, didn't you mention Matt Roth?
Which one?
In your free agency story?
We
didn't have a free agency story.
You had something you were writing about free agents.
What did you...
In the last issue of...
Did you read this paper?
What issue did you edit this week?
Okay. No, somebody did.
In this issue?
Yeah. The issue I just edited.
Yeah, this issue.
Heavily.
Right.
Yeah.
This was all draft and CBA. There was no free agency.
Yeah.
No, there was a section where it might have been in commentary.
First down?
Or somewhere where Ali was mentioned, Tamba Ali, and, you know, who's out there that they might be interested in.
This must
in.
Have been your commentary.
It might have been in your commentary.
It may have been Ask PFW.
Oh,
might
yes,
have been that
that's
too.
What it is.
Yeah, okay.
That's what it is, because I did ask PFW this week.
Gary from Connecticut, have you guys seen any tape on Markell Carter yet? On Pats.com, it doesn't have any, and I don't see any on the internet. I notice he has most of Bill's measurables, 6'4", 248 pounds. The 40 time is a bit slow at 4'7". Is this guy going to be another Sean Crable? Is he passing through, or does Bill think he may have someone he can develop into his new headhunter? If possible, can you request some tape to be posted on him so we can see what we're getting?
I could probably request that.
Yeah.
I spoke with his defensive line coach. Very high on him.
Yeah.
Maybe I will try to leave a message to see if there's any chance we could get a little tape on him just to put on the website and show people what he is as a player, because everybody raves about him. I saw his D coordinator talk to the Boston Herald, raved about him. To me, they're a little high on the guy. I mean, you're a 1AA prospect. Don't tell me he's going to come in right away and contribute. And they've all said that. He's going to get after the passer. He's going to come in right away and contribute. He'll help you on special teams. I think he needs to make the team before he can do any of that.
Yeah, but you know what? All of these, when we do all of these interviews, even other outlets that do the same type of post-draft profiles, all the coaches that they speak to are always way over the top
on
how
great.
But to me,
you got to be realistic.
Perfect.
Like Mike Richards, coach at Notre Dame, I remember telling me, he's got this as a weakness. He's going to have to struggle to compete initially, blah, blah, blah.
Those are the best ones, but they don't
and
happen
this guy's
very
a 1AA guy.
Those are the ones
they
I
need
get.
To know the guy's not even competing at the Division I level.
You know, most of the profiles that I usually do are the lower round picks. And let's face it, those guys are facing long odds. Now, when I get an over-the-top positive one, like Lee Smith, for example, I talked to his coach, who, by the way, tight ends coach whose name is escaping me right now, but very good friends with Troy Brown. Played at Marshall with Troy Brown back in the early 90s. He was over the top about
nice
Lee
head.
Smith, but not necessarily about his playing ability. It was all about leader, character guy, perfect fit for the Patriots. Did say he was a very good blocker and an underrated receiver, but said nothing of those. He said he's going to have to learn different route running tech. He's going to have a lot to learn, he said, about the pro passing game and whatnot. So physically, he's admitting there's a reason why he's taken in the sixth round. He's lacking physically in some of these areas. All the over-the-top positive was all about the person they're getting. And that's what I tend to find when, you know, the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round picks. Yeah, you'll get an occasional guy who'll go over the top and say, this guy should have been a second round pick. He had that. His talent was that good. But for the most part, they laud the player, the person, more so than the player.
Jay in Florida has an interesting email. He starts it out by giving us a definition of meme, M-E-M-E. Eric is just dying to give it, but I'll read it.
Go ahead.
An idea, belief, or pattern of behavior that is transmitted verbally or by repeated action, cultural equivalent of gene.
So let me guess where this is going to go to. I'm going to. Can I
tell you read it already. So
yeah, I've read it because I know what meme means. I never heard the word in my life. I'm going to guess this is going to go to, we don't really need a pass rusher. But go ahead.
Okay. Patriots need a pass rusher. Is a clear example of a meme.
Thank you.
That gets stuck in people's head via repetition and is somehow then perceived as true. Last year, with the Pats often being up by two or three touchdowns, the Patriots D gave up yards, Chinese water torture style, by design. Belichick was playing the clock instead of repeating pass rusher over and over, saying that the Patriots need to pass rush aggressively makes more sense. How many times do the Pats rush three guys? How many times do they rush four? When you rush three, four, or the risky five guys against five offensive linemen, you are not going to get to the quarterback. No player available in the draft is going to consistently beat double teams. One player will get just swallowed up in the conservative scheme. The problem, and I don't think there is one, is the scheme. Belichick is a coverage guy, obsessive with his defensive players always being in the right spots. And with such a young defense, Belichick became even more cautious. Unless Belichick turns his guys loose and blitzes more, expect more of the same from the D. The emailer at the end of the Day 3 draft podcast was spot on. Belichick plays the draft like he plays defense, cautiously playing the percentages, backing up, hoping the other team makes a mistake. Interestingly, the offense is equally conservative, short stuff, quick-hitting plays, waiting and hoping a defensive player makes a mistake or blows a coverage.
I don't think you should base a defense on somebody else making a mistake.
But they do. There's no doubt in my mind that on some level, Bill believes you can't drive the length of the field. You'll make a mistake. We'll capitalize on the mistake.
That's
I totally disagree with the beginning premise that he doesn't have any need for pass rushers. I mean, then why did he spend, or the position, the outside linebacker, which is the pass rusher in the 3-4 many times, then why did he spend some $50 million on guys named Roosevelt Colvin and Adelis
Thomas? I think it's...
Those are terrible signings if he doesn't think they need to rush the passer.
I think Bill thinks he needs an outside linebacker.
I just think it was value. I don't think he thinks there's impact guys in the draft that often. I think he thinks they're very few and far between. I think he thinks it's hard to develop. And I buy some of the whole... He's going to let these defensive linemen convert somewhere else, and then maybe I'll sign him or I'll get a guy, whatever. I don't think it has anything to do with he doesn't want somebody who can rush the passer. I think he wants that.
And if you're going to develop somebody who already has a step ahead of all the other players at his position in his class. Develop a guy who's already further along.
No, but he thinks there's too much of a risk there that 87% of them are going to bust out. And there's not a very good chance that the guy you spend that 15th pick in the draft on is going to be a value, whereas I can get a tackle who I can plug in for the next decade protecting Tom Brady.
Well,
I think he wants them to bust out elsewhere, and then the 13% that make it, he'll try to find one of them in the NFL.
Yeah, and I also think...
Meanwhile, players around the league are getting 9.5, 10, 11 sacks.
What's the word he used? Meme?
But there's not a ton of them that come in right away and do that. I mean,
there
really is.
What's the word, Fred? Meme? When you convince yourself...
No.
That's something, you know, you hear it repeated over and over again, and the idea becomes truth.
Well,
you know what I think has become
Robert
truth?
Robert Quinn would have been a perfect Patriot.
That the Patriots system doesn't call for a pass rusher. I think that's been repeated over and over often enough that people now believe it to be true. Because the Patriots haven't had that 10, 15 sack guy consistently. They don't need one guy, but you need consistent pressure on the passer. In the Patriots' three Super Bowl winning seasons, they had 41 and 44 sacks. Okay? In 07, when they went undefeated and were 30 seconds away from another one, they had 47 sacks. The other years, under 40. Yeah, mostly under 35.
They had 36 last year.
33, 33, 34, 36, 29.
I can't believe they had 36.
Those are the
sack
totals. That
seems ridiculous.
5 and 10 fewer than they had when they were winning Super Bowls.
And it's not that.
That's a lot.
It's not just the number. It's when they happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, they all happened in the Pittsburgh game when they had six.
Well, that's the point. It's when they happen. You know, whether.
When in the game they happen.
When in the game. At what moment, what the situation was.
Right. Third down.
Yeah.
And I'm also with Bill that a good pressure is equally as valuable, maybe more so. But I don't remember that either. Give me that number.
That's what the championship teams did. On 3rd and 10, they forced the ball out before you wanted to throw it, and they got off the field.
But it was also just the option of a sack. I mean, when was the last time you thought, now, that it's 3rd and something and the other team is dropping back and they need their 9 yards, whatever? Does it even go into your mind that we're going to get a sack here and end this drive?
Mm-mm.
In the old days, you did.
You did, of course.
Willie McGinnis didn't have 17 sacks, but you thought there was a chance when you needed a play, like you did against the Colts before that field goal, that Willie McGinnis would make that play, and he did.
But what
and
made,
sometimes
what
Roman Pfeiffer did, or
exactly.
whoever else.
Exactly. What made the Patriots so good and so difficult for opposing quarterbacks is you didn't know who was going to do it.
Because you had guys that were good.
It could be Brewski diving over the middle, or it could be...
Now I don't know who's going to do it either, because no one's going to do it.
That was an aggressive...
They have no one now.
The exact opposite. Instead of having the 3 for 2, they have 1 for 3 or whatever.
They were waiting for people to make mistakes and being aggressive and trying to force mistakes.
Right.
Now they're just waiting for people to make mistakes, and I don't like that.
And that's part of it, too. I agree.
But they also just don't have a guy that can do it. That's the only way I side with Bill is I don't think he has a guy that can do the job. So
you have
to tweak what you're doing. Now you also got to go get the guy.
But I agree that Bill's philosophy, his principle, is generally let's make him go 80 yards, 10 yards at a time. And sooner or later, they'll not execute a 3rd-and-6 play, and they'll have to punt, and we'll get the ball back.
Except when you rank 32nd on 3rd down.
I do think that in the past, when they were good,
he did get
more aggressive on those 3rd-down plays occasionally. Not a lot, not all the time. But like that big Colts game here on the opening day in 04, and he sends Rodney from one side and McGinnis from the other, and bang, it's a sack. It makes it a longer field goal, and the choker misses it like he always does.
It's amazing that, because that's exactly the play I was just going to mention, because the video of it is at the Hall of Patriot Place. As a matter of fact, in that play, you know, Peyton Manning checks down his blocking scheme and tells his running back to look at the other side at Colvin and to stay in for him. Meanwhile, McGinnis comes in from the other side and you know, takes out Manning.
I believe he actually gave a hand signal, and Willie said he saw it. Tap of the butt, or
I think
something.
That was the goal line stand.
I
thought the sack. Willie said, "I knew."
Rodney who had the sack. It was Willie McGinnis who had the goal line stand.
Yeah,
and he—that's exactly you're
and,
exactly
and he
right.
He saw something
it
on the goal
hand,
line stand.
It was a hand signal by Peyton on his butt that told him that they were running the ball.
He was going down a run,
so he just he hightailed it for the.
Are you all right?
The weather's on Neckin again, if anyone's interested.
If anyone wants to know why Fred just barely went silent.
There's a high-pressure front moving in her chest.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Sean and Salt Lake's on the phone.
She got hit in the back with 2 missiles.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, what's up?
Nothing. How
it's
you doing?
A small fish.
Pretty good. I was watching some video on Carter this morning.
Okay. What'd you think?
By far, he was the best person on the field.
Yes, that's good.
He seemed a little slow.
Well, it's one double A.
He could get to the passer, but it was like taking a college guy and putting him up against some high schooler. He definitely has a pass rush, but I don't think he'll be able to stand up to go out in coverage.
Okay.
I mean, I think he'll strictly be a pass rusher.
Well, we did a lot of dropping. I know that. He was their drop end. Anytime they zone blitzed, he was the guy who dropped into coverage, according to his coach.
Yeah, I'd rather have a guy who can rush into the backfield and get the quarterback than a guy who can drop into coverage. There are enough people who can drop into coverage.
Really?
When was the last time Tully Bantakane made a play in coverage?
You keep bringing up that one guy, but I think that in today's NFL, that's as valuable an asset for an outside linebacker.
I think it's overrated.
I mean, if you can't do that,
imagine
really...
how much they'd pay Tully if he could cover.
I mean,
because
no,
they're paid him $6 million when he can't cover.
But that's a hole in your defense if they can't.
Yes, outside linebacker is a hole in the
now,
defense.
Now, as far as our pass rushing defense, goes this defense, I think we'll be twice as good as last year.
What was that again?
So they're going to be 18-2.
14 times 2 is 28. You moron. I
think we'll at least be in the top 15 on 3rd down.
Why?
Because
can they really go 32nd again?
Fork last year.
So you think Ty Warren coming back is the reason?
Well, we'll have Ty Warren. We have what's his name that we got from Buffalo, which is
Marcus,
kind of up in the air.
Marcus Stroud, whom the Herald profiled today as being the savior for the pass rush. If that's the case,
well, one of those two will be on the field on 3rd down. Good chance neither. But
the savior for the pass rush this year is going to be a better overall defense. That's going to be the savior for the pass rush.
Yeah.
So you think Rozai Dowling?
I'm hoping, yeah.
Oh boy.
I'm hoping him and just an elevated game from other guys too. You know, a healthier defensive front, healthier overall.
No, but I'm talking on 3rd down. Marcus Stroud is coming off the field.
Yeah.
Vince Wilfork half the time is coming off the field.
Mm-hmm.
Ty Warren is coming off the field. Your interior rushers
are
Mike Wright and Myron Pryor. And
don't sleep on Eric Moore.
And Eric Moore, 2 sacks in 4 games, Eric Moore.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for the call, Sean. Pete D. from Yucca Valley says, longtime listener, first-time emailer. Just wanted to give you a shout-out from Southern California. I was born and raised in Brockton, but I'm out here in the Mojave Desert with the Navy, 29 Palms. Anyway, just
that's a little funny of a sentence right there. I'm out here in the Mojave Desert with the Navy.
Yeah. Big Marine Corps base out there, too.
Yeah. Anyway,
I would have been fine, but why is the Navy in the desert? I thought they only did the water.
The Marine Corps is part of the Navy.
It is.
So maybe that's what he's referring to.
Anyway,
is there all this crossing of stuff? Why does the Air Force have boats, and why does the Navy have helicopters? And shouldn't they do their jobs?
Well, the Navy has aircraft carriers. Somebody's going to fly those planes.
I don't mean that. I mean boats.
Anyway, I just wanted to tell you that your draft coverage was great. In fact, it was a lifesaver. I was vacationing with my wife and kid at Universal Studios on Friday, streaming your broadcast through a single covertly concealed earphone. I must have looked like a secret
operation.
Agent. Anyway, my wife said it was one of the best vacations we've ever gone on, as I wasn't complaining. I was like a zombie, silently following them around from ride to ride, quietly handing over my wallet when requested, and smiling for the camera when directed, all the while listening intently to your broadcast. Anyway, keep up the good work. You guys are a lifesaver for Pats fans like me, scattered around the world. Go Pats, and Eric sucks.
I was just going to thank him for his service.
Hey, the fact that he got your name in there is good.
No, it's not. Bitch. He didn't call you Chaz Scalabino.
we were talking.
Andy was watching Oprah the other day.
Did you see Chaz Bono?
No.
Apparently used to be Chastity Bono.
Oh, that's right. That's Sonny Bono's or
Cher's
kid.
Cher's kid. Yeah.
Eric, much like Andy needs to qualify according to Patriots Media Relations,
right.
He has to give it the... Apparently, he used to be Chastity Bono.
According to Oprah, he used to be.
He couldn't just take our word for it.
I wasn't really aware of this Chastity Bono person, but I'll tell you, Chaz Bono looks like a man.
You do know it's Cher's son.
Yes, it's the best.
Son.
Now, what is she
child.
Now? Is she transgendered or?
Transsexual.
Well, whatever she is now, well, he is now, it's the best of that.
Yeah.
Looks like a real man. Looks like a born man.
Okay. It was the sideburns, I think, that... convinced.
But I think the whole thing.
Because usually you don't see sideburns when
But you always just think that kind of looks like a woman. This one looks like a man. And does her facial hair really grow?
Probably, because
I guess
they
if you have that much hormone, yeah. Wouldn't that result in hair growth? I don't know. Maybe never mind.
Why don't you take testosterone then?
Oh.
Let's see. Mark writes
get rid
in,
of those bitch tits. You know,
there's only so much. Only so much I could handle.
We were talking last week about this guy.
I know he's in shape, but he has them. Who's he talking to?
Sorry, Fred.
We were talking last week about what if they changed the draft party to day two, the second round instead of the first round. And Mark says a note to your thought to change the party to Friday. The Patriots will, of course, trade up the 2-2s for a third one whenever you do it or something.
In other words, they'll do the opposite. So
right.
You're probably right about that.
Then you'd have three first-round picks to meet at the draft party.
John from Marietta, Georgia, though it's tough watching Bill pass on taking that second number one pick every year instead of a top talent for upcoming year. Instead, it is brilliant to keep rolling it annually for an extra second-round pick. Long-term, it allows the pass to draft the most talent. I wanted this year to use the pick for a pass rusher or Mark Ingram, but I can appreciate the strategy. That's John from Marietta.
Everybody can appreciate the strategy. Yes, you have a second first next year, and you added a second round this year. That's good business. On paper, that's great. Games aren't played on paper.
All right.
On the field. You can't throw picks at opponents. Who told me that, Paul? Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. George in Florida is on the phone. Hey, George.
I'm glad I didn't have to follow that jazz one because I watched it. It's called Transition, not Transgender. Transition.
Transition?
Okay.
Yeah, she transitioned into a male.
And when did you make that transition?
Wow!
See, laughed out loud, knowing that it was done with love. It's just a joke.
Paul, you know I'm a ball guy too. Us guys gonna hang together now.
Touche, my friend.
All right.
Well, you really went bald there, didn't you?
Now listen. When was the last time that Belichick actually drafted in the first round an outside linebacker?
Never.
I don't think he has.
Not since he's been here.
Since Belichick even, I don't even think Parcells drafted one.
McGinnis,
you know.
McGinnis, okay. He was, that's right, number four, that's right, all right. So, now, looking at you guys, we all hype ourselves up for an outside rusher. We all know we need an outside rusher. But, you know, it just shows that he's not going to do it, and he's probably going to try to grab somebody in the free agency, and we just need to just grab hold of that and go with it. I mean, hopefully, you know, I don't know if Matt Roth is the answer.
He's not.
There's not too many other good guys out there, but maybe our young guns that he got last year will hopefully, you know, take that step forward.
But that's only one guy. If Jermaine Cunningham makes the greatest year two jump that Paul Perillo has ever seen, you still have that other position that, to me, is lackluster with Banta Kane and Ninkovich and Eric Moore.
Besides, George, I'd rather they take a chance in both areas. Draft a kid and sign a free agent. You can do both. You don't have to do one or the other.
I know. I was just as frustrated as everybody. But what is Dane Fletcher? Didn't he come on, or is he just
he's a middle linebacker.
He's going to be
an inside linebacker.
Teams and filling.
He's an inside linebacker.
Oh, he's inside. All right. Well, thanks, guys, and keep up the good work.
See you, George.
All right. Thanks, George.
Or Georgina.
All right. Thanks for the call, George.
Georgette.
Oh, it's 12:48, so we have to take the 12:48 break. 12:48 break, and we'll be right back.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Birds! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
We all know that Andy is the bully of PFW in Progress. He can dish it out, but can he take it?
Trying to read the email.
guy's pulling an all-nighter so that he can email during the show, and Andy's disrespecting.
No, that's not my fault. It's you.
That's your fault.
You're the one who picks and chooses the emails.
That's your fault.
Shut up.
Typical big head. He's never wrong, and nothing's ever his fault.
You're the one who chooses the emails.
That's not my fault. It's not my fault that I'm talking while you're talking.
Don't have a heart attack.
Oh, my God.
Leave it to Fred to put Andy in his place.
When someone's talking, you have to shut up.
Now, back to PFW in Progress.
He's going to kill him.
All right, back here in PFW in progress, 508-298-0398.
Is that new?
Ace Ticket Hotline.
I think that was new, wasn't
it? It was about 2 months ago, and he still has a bad look on his face.
He did that this morning.
You got to tell us when we got a new bit coming.
Yeah, I missed the beginning of it. Web radio at page.com.
Usually he goes, no bit. That wasn't really interesting.
You know, our listeners never fail us. No matter what the issue is, there's somebody out there that can offer advice, have a solution.
Is this about Chaz?
No. Sheila in Clearwater has allergy help for me.
Oh, good.
She says there's no need to read this over the radio, but I will anyway. The best thing for allergy is to get local unprocessed honey, not the stuff you get in the grocery store. Local honey has all the pollens from the local plants, and if it is unprocessed, it still carries all those pollens. By taking a tablespoon each morning, you build up an immunity to the pollens, just like taking a flu shot. I drink a cup of tea in the morning with a tablespoon in it and have not had a problem with allergy since. It's not very sweet, but it works. So thank you. I'll give that a shot. Now I just got to find out where I can get unprocessed local honey.
Probably Whole Foods.
Fight some bees for it, yeah.
Whole Food?
Probably.
I don't trust that store.
They put
a fancy label on it, and they tell you.
You can drop a C-note for a bottle of honey.
Right.
Plus, I'm with Fred. I think it's processed honey that they just tell you isn't.
Right. I'll find something else.
You need a local place.
Yeah,
like
there's
a farm
place around called the Big Apple where I live that is a local farm. Maybe they'll have it.
Or they can tell you who does.
Yeah. That's a good idea, Sheila. Makes sense, too.
But she also lives in Florida. Are allergies as bad there?
Oh, they have allergies down there. Sure.
Sure.
I know Clearwater very well.
That's near Tampa, right?
Yeah, I rode my bike from the University of Tampa to Clearwater Beach one day.
You did?
Did you get arrested down there?
I almost got killed.
A motorcycle?
No.
A pimp.
What happened?
Like a tricycle.
Let's see.
Have you heard this story, Paul?
No. What happened?
Staying in Florida, Gene in Daytona writes in.
Do you know Daytona? Did you ever drive up there for bike week?
I've been to Daytona. It's on the other side of the state, though. Yeah,
I've been to Daytona.
I was reading about the new concussion rules in the NFL that they'll be making. If you lose a quarterback in a game due to a concussion, it will be a lot harder to get him back into the game or even the next game. 3 game-time-ready quarterbacks will be a necessity. I believe Mallett is not going anywhere. And there is a video on YouTube of Markell Carter and Malcolm Williams. So there you go.
Okay.
Someone has got those videos up there now that they're on NFL teams.
One thing that's alarming is that despite the coaches telling us how dominant Markell Carter was, his numbers weren't. He had like 8 sacks, which is...
No one thought there was any chance, by the way.
No. 8-6, I think, over the
this
last
year.
Years.
No one thought there was any chance that Ryan Mallett wouldn't be here this year.
Right. You know,
he's not going anywhere.
Right.
No, I think she meant 2013 or whatever.
Well, okay. Well, then he could be definitely going somewhere. It could be another third guy.
Could be Brady going somewhere.
If that's what you need, 3 guys, which I don't think you need that anymore now than any other time. If they think that there's trade value for him,
sure,
they'll trade him.
Do you see the Riddell story this morning? Recommending that everyone and Brady uses the old helmet, so I'm assuming he falls into that 38% or whatever. They're recommending they all change over to the new age modern helmet because the old helmets didn't do anything, basically. They found out, got 1 star out of 5 in the study. And the new one is the only helmet that gets 5 out of 5 rating.
Actually,
who's rating?
From what I've been told.
I think independent.
Oh, is it?
I'm pretty sure independent.
You know, the direct blow.
Although I should look into that because they might just want you to buy the new helmets.
Uh-huh.
Good call, Eric. Good reading between the lines.
You know, there's certainly helmets can protect from direct blows. But from what I've been told, you know, the jostling inside the head, there's really nothing that can keep the brain from moving. Once
when the
head
stops,
been made.
Right?
Yeah,
because the head moves and the brain jiggles around inside.
Right.
But they try to lessen it. So, because if you lessen the impact on the head, it by connection lessens it inside. But you're right; you can't. They need to figure out how to put like wedges inside your skull between the brain and the.
There you go.
Betcha that would hurt.
Yeah.
Dan writes in. Let's see.
Except for Gronkowski.
Where's Dan?
There's a lot of space in here. We're gonna need bigger wedges.
Dan's from Old England. And he says, a quick would-you-rather question. Don't worry, this doesn't concern Brooklyn Decker, although having now seen photos of her, I understand why Andy Roddick is so keen to leave tournaments early to get home. Is he married to Brooklyn Decker?
No,
Andy
Roddick?
They're not married. They are together.
No, he's just doing her.
Yeah. That's nice.
Wish they described me that way.
Would you rather? 1, have the team win at least 12 games a season and make the playoffs annually for the next 10 years, but not win a championship, or win the Super Bowl next year, but then fall back down to a middle-of-the-pack 8-8 team for the next 10 years?
I'll take the 12 wins.
I'll take the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but if I know they're not going to win a Super Bowl in those 10 years, I'll take the Super Bowl.
Exactly. Yeah. Take the Super Bowl.
I'll take the Super
right.
Bowl.
Right.
I'll take the wins.
Knowing you're not, it's just going to amount to nothing?
Yeah.
Well, then don't make fun of 14-2 season and getting kicked out of the playoffs.
I don't make fun of anything. I make fun of getting kicked out of the playoffs.
I would take the Super Bowl.
That's
I want to follow a good team as often as possible.
Yep.
I want to see good football throughout the season. I want it week to week.
Yeah, but in this case, you know it's not going to amount to a championship.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I know the other way it's not going to either, that I'm going to be 8-8 every year.
But you had another one.
You had one, though.
I think there's a lot of...
This goes back to the great debate.
See, I think once you win a Super Bowl, once you move past it and you're 3 years later, that's history.
Right.
Now I want to see good football every week. I want to compete.
And you know you're not going to win the championship.
Either way, you're not going to win them.
But it's only for what? What did he say? 10 years?
10 years.
Yeah, then you got a new decade after that, and you start winning all over again.
We don't know the parameters will be of that hypothetical.
The idea is to win a title.
You have it yet. Exactly, Paul.
I don't think it's a failure if you win 12 games 10 years in a row and don't win the Super Bowl. That's not a failure. That's good, solid, sustained success. But if you're asking me if I would rather have one title or none, I'll take one.
I'd take none as long as I already have one.
The reason I ask is
you already have three, though. That's not the question.
You already have three.
No, that's my point. We already have three. I don't care. They're all history. Whether I have three or four, I'd rather have a decade of good seasons that I get to watch every
year. I think it can be very frustrating watching and following a team that is consistently there and falls short.
Mm-hmm.
That can be very old very fast.
Yeah.
So you'd rather have a team that never has a chance.
It's gotten old very fast for Patriots fans.
Neither team has a chance.
Right.
No, but at 8-8, you're not even watching good regular season games anymore.
That's
you
not
lose
true.
As many
that's
as you
That's
why.
That's
not necessarily
every game
true.
All the 8 games you lost could have been lost by a point.
Right.
Yeah.
They could be very competitive games.
I'd rather
go
win
down.
Games. I'd just rather win games.
Oh.
I'd rather win Super Bowls.
Well, then, again, I don't want to hear about getting knocked out of the playoffs after 14-2, if
Did
that's
you
your philosophy.
Whoa.
I just want to win games. I want to win championships.
Yeah.
I want to win both, but using this scenario, I want the decade of winning. I want to see good football more often than not.
Well, 8-8 can be good football. You just end up on the short end of the stick half the time. That's all. The reason I ask this, says Dan, is I think the draft philosophy that Bill takes about value favors the
Stop for a second.
Yeah.
Would you rather be the Colts or the Eagles over the last decade?
The Colts. They won a championship.
Right.
Yes, the Colts, but.
You guess?
I mean, they both have won a lot.
Right.
That's what I want to do. I want to go
in
Super Bowl
every season.
Is that Nancy Meyer?
Every year I want to know that you can win.
You don't. It's a hypothetical. We're giving it probably way too much thought.
That's what we do, though.
I think we have the time, Paul. We may continue this discussion next week.
But you don't go in like knowing you can't compete. Like that 8-8 season. You start off, you win a game, you win another game, then you lose one. You go in the highs, the lows.
How do you know I don't start off 0-8?
Well, then
the second half of the season.
Then you have
amazing.
A very exciting
then
end of the season. I already gave up on the season when I went 0-8.
But then you win 8 in a row, and you're excited for the following season.
Right.
Which I start 0-8 again.
But somewhere in that stretch, you are going to win a Super Bowl. That's coming. Because one time in those 10 years, you're going to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah. So I have 9 other miserable years.
In your scenario, you know 10 out of 10 years... Lucy's moving the ball on Charlie Brown. You ain't gonna win the Super Bowl no matter how hard you try.
You didn't tell me how I was gonna lose the Super Bowl. What if I lost every Super Bowl? What if I went to the Super Bowl 10 years in a row and lost?
He didn't say that.
I know, but what if I did?
I think that would be worse than winning one.
Oh, I don't think so. You people, you
You'd be the
Buffalo Bills, put way too much stock in winning a singular title.
Because that's what
And you put no stock into winning any.
Right.
Rule on cockamamie trades.
It's strictly an opinion thing.
You're
but
the Buffalo
you put no
Bills.
Stock in winning any.
Like once I finish the season that won the Super Bowl, yeah, you get that little you know you're buying your hats and you're celebrating that spring and all that crap. At some point, you turn the page to the next year.
That's fine.
And I don't want to suck and know that it's over. I want to go 12 wins, go to the playoffs,
and
have
never
a
win.
Chance.
I'm not going to talk to a jerk like you.
And I already won.
No, but
I already have the Super Bowl title.
You don't have a chance though. You know going in that you don't have a chance. You know you're going to lose.
But you don't know that. You don't know that. When the season's on, that's what I'm saying. It's a hypothetical. It's impossible. When you're watching a season, I understand what Andy's point is. You'd rather win games, but you're going to get let down.
I know.
I think
it happens most of the time anyway.
By the way, 8-8 can win you a division nowadays.
But
not really.
In this scenario,
plus,
you don't go to the playoffs.
I don't want to win that. I want to be the, I mean, 12-4 is a good record. I know we poo-pooed around here because of 16-0s and 14-2s, but to me, a 12-win football team is a very good football team. And I get a decade of watching a very good football team. Every year in November, I say, my team's damn good.
And every year in January, say, I wish we were in the playoffs.
And so do you, except for that one stupid year where you stole one because maybe you beat the Rams that went 7-9. Ooh, I had a crap team that beat another crap team, but I got a ring!
Talk about
adding
elements.
Right.
Why couldn't they beat a 16-0 team?
Right. As you would put it, if your poop-bum team won the Super Bowl, it means the other team was more of a poop-bum team.
Why are they a poop-bum team?
Because they're 8-8.
That's not what he said.
I missed it. I thought you were 8-8 every year.
After you win a Super Bowl, and then you go 8-8
and then
don't
you drop that down to the middle of the pack.
But it's irrelevant. I still want a decade of success.
All right.
That's not success.
And you define success.
No, it's not.
Yeah. Right.
It is.
Exactly.
It is a decade of success.
Exactly what he makes fun of people.
No, that's not true. Because it is success. That's like saying the Patriots haven't been successful the last 3 years.
No, I know what you're saying, Paul.
Of course they have.
He makes fun of people when they say that.
No, I don't.
When I say, you know, it's really hard to win games in the NFL, but it's all about winning championships.
What?
you got an update
to add that to the bit.
Yeah, that bit just inspired that, I think.
Well, anyway, the reason Dan says this is that he thinks that the draft philosophy that Bill takes about value favors the first scenario, which is the 12 games win season.
I agree.
Always getting more picks for next year and getting lots of good but no elite players will keep the team in the running for years to come. However, not getting those few elite players needed to make a serious Super Bowl run before Brady retires is painful, and I hate the thought of going out in the playoffs every season for the foreseeable future. So,
did you see the NFL Network thing that they're doing now with the best 100 players?
Have they gotten past 90? Because every time I click on, it's 100 to 91.
I haven't watched any of the individual players yet. I just watched, they had like an overview at the beginning, 57 or something like that of the 100 players were first round draft picks. The highest of anything else was 11. So 57, the vast majority of those players
were first round picks.
That's where you get talent. So you can say you can sustain your, I don't see why it's easier to sustain success by getting lesser players than it would be to get fewer players that are more talented. I don't really get that correlation. Am I the only one?
I wasn't listening.
I'm going off the email.
Right.
The email said Bill's philosophy lends itself to the 12-4 theory.
Right.
I think it kind of does.
Why?
I think his belief
I think that this organization's philosophy is to do what it can to be competitive every season.
I agree.
Yeah.
That is what their stated mission is.
Right.
And I'm with that philosophy wholeheartedly. Why is it easier to do that with lesser talent than higher talent?
Right.
Is my question.
It isn't. You still need good team and good talent.
Yeah, and the 1 year that they really made a splash, 2007, they almost went undefeated.
I think you could make an argument
But didn't win the Super Bowl, for all you Super Bowlites.
That's right.
So it's a loser season.
Ultimately,
you know what,
it was,
Freddie,
yes.
You're absolutely right. He does play both sides of the fence.
Right.
He's very Glenn Ordway-like.
Oh, yeah.
Which this will be on the big show again now because we just mentioned Glenn Ordway.
You're making my point.
You do. Because you make fun of those people who say, well, they went undefeated. And you say, your first response is always, did they win the Super Bowl? Did they win? That's the first thing you say to those guys.
But he's right. In that case, he's right.
But
it was a waste.
The bigger.
It wasn't a waste.
It was a waste.
2007 was not a waste.
It was a
waste. They came 30 seconds away from being the greatest team in the history of sports.
Right, and they choked.
No, but the issue
so
it
doesn't
is,
make it a waste.
They're not
I would do that again
exclusive.
In a heartbeat.
It was a hell of a season.
I would
they
do that again in a heartbeat.
It was a hell of a season.
They're not exclusive.
Ultimately,
that's the problem. You
what?
Went
what are you
18
laughing
and
at
1, and 2 years later, you're competing still. You don't have to just go all in, and then it's not the Titans when Floyd used to run the team,
no.
And it would go all in, and then
no.
We got to blow
and
it
you
up.
Don't, and you,
you
don't
can
have
do
to
both.
Go all in. That's why the hypothetical is a hypothetical. It's not based in reality. You're right. You don't have to go all in and say, I'm going to put all my eggs in this basket, and if I'm not good this
Patriots,
year, I'm going to stink
Colts,
for the next 10 years.
Ravens.
No one does that.
Steelers
everybody.
I'll eliminate the Eagles because they haven't won it. But
I won't.
They've
I'll
all proven you
too.
Can do both. You can go for that big run to the Super Bowl and also be good the next year and the next
and
year
that's,
and the next year.
And I don't want to start another tangent, but it's why I think the free agent era being restrictive to long-term success is a myth. because I think there's 5, 6, 7, 8 teams that prove that it's not. If you have smart guys like Bill Belichick and Ozzie Newsome and Andy Reid and Kevin Colbert and Bill Polian running your organizations, if they're running your organizations and making the decisions, they're going to continue to find players.
And that's the point. I think when you
and
have,
it's easier to find them
right.
because you have more avenues now than you did in 1975.
And when you have a system that
are you going to swear? You seem like
when you have a
up.
System that tries to
myth.
Create that
that's
even playing field. Like the NFL, smart front offices can be the thing that puts you ahead. That's something that, you know, the NFL can't determine.
And having a quarterback.
Well, yeah. Yeah, sure.
Stability at the quarterback position. Brady, Manning, Roethlisberger, McNabb. I mean, they brought stability to
those. But you
got to
have the smarts to take them in the sixth round.
The smarts or the luck?
You didn't have to say that.
Oh, my goodness.
What?
I've seen a lot of cars hit houses in my day, but this one is like
in the living room.
This went through the living room, down the hall, into the bathroom.
It had to wee-wee.
Yeah. That's something.
Fall River. I don't know what it is you're doing down there.
I don't live in Fall River. I'm not from Fall
That's
River.
That's your area, though.
Just not really.
That's the South Coast.
Yeah, but I don't claim Fall River or New Bedford.
No, but that's the general
if you gave
vicinity.
Me Westport, Marion, Mattapoisett, I would
That'd be
take.
Like me saying, well, it happened
the
in
nice
Chelsea.
Places.
I grew up in Everest.
I claim the nice places.
Exactly. Where you can
I don't take
boat.
The ghettos that have the highest AIDS rates in the country.
Fellow named Rodney from Northeastern University Marketing and Entrepreneurship Class of 2012 wrote in about Brady being like number 33 in the Pro Football Focus best.
Not
Turns
like,
out Mr.
Not
Hart.
Like number 33. He was number 33.
This guy Rodney works for P. Pro Football Focus.
P Pro.
I was going to say PFF, but I don't think. So he says.
Well, they are on Twitter, right?
That's what I think of that list.
He says he's willing to call in on behalf of Pro Football Focus and explain why Brady was rated so low.
Only if you want to talk about the Northeastern basketball team's income and recruiting class. Otherwise,
he says,
as Mike Felger would say,
he says, I joined PFF. In November, because after an in-depth research of the site, I was astounded by the amount and quality of work they're producing. PFF watches every player, every play, and every game, and grades the performance of each player. That is why I was concerned when I listened to last week's show. Pro Football Focus is not New Age Statistics Football Saber Metrics. It is much more like an NFL scout that judges each player's performance, and they have a methodology by which players are graded. Okay, stop
without
right there.
Without the scout.
Your methodology is flawed then, because if you're just merely scouting,
well, not only
any
that.
Scout will tell you that Brady is not number 33 in the league.
Well, yeah. Unless does he explain it, the methodology?
No.
Because the methodology has to have some sort of statistical analytical breakdown. You have
and
to
you
use
also,
something.
To say what a guy, if a guy won or lost on a given play, you need to know what his job was. You can't just watch a game and say, oh, he looked like he won that play.
So look,
you don't
Rodney,
know his job. You don't right. know his assignment. There's 11 guys with 11 assignments on a football field.
A guard could pull around the end and knock over an outside linebacker, but if he was supposed to get the guard who shot through, I mean, the
right.
nose tackle who shot through the gap,
that's a bad,
he didn't win his,
right.
his job that
right.
way.
He's going to get graded low.
Right. So, Rodney, you know, feel free if you want to call in 508-298-0398. We'll
Will
be
you?
Happy
no.
to
what?
Talk to you.
No.
What, no?
No.
No, why?
No, as the producer, I'm putting
Ooh,
my foot.
He's
in.
Pulling rank.
Oh, wow.
First time.
Doc right. leaves, and suddenly he's got a pair.
What, we don't want to debate this guy?
Nuts are dropping
or,
everywhere
or
on this studio.
At least listen to what he has to say.
Do you not remember when Rook debated them last time?
They were master debaters?
Well, I guess I thought the guy that Rook talked to was some guy from Ireland.
No, he worked for this site.
There's a bunch of guys.
He does. He's from Ireland, and he works
Well, they them. Must have a ton of people because they have to watch every play,
yeah.
every player,
right.
every game.
Yeah, they have a bunch of like freelance
Listen,
guys.
I freely admit that I am old school and very reluctant to embrace these new analytical things. But any kind of evaluation process that had Tom Brady in 2007, the 33rd best player in football, I don't need to learn more about. I don't.
I just think it's so funny. The first ever unanimous MVP.
It's like this
they
year.
They had him as a second.
No. Even
pick.
If you want to say something along the lines of, you know what, he shouldn't have been the unanimous MVP. He didn't have that great
right.
a year. He wasn't that good. There's no possible way you can take from that and get to 33.
Freddie, this is the group this year that said he shouldn't have been the MVP. And that had like
right.
Phillip Rivers ahead of him.
Right. But even that I can
because
argue. Because
that
gets
that
into
I can understand.
Value to a team. But
it's
anybody
an
who watched
yeah,
Brady
yeah,
this
yeah,
year work with rookie receivers, has been wide receivers,
completely
turned everything over.
Changes offense around midstream.
And the way he performed.
And he threw, oh, I don't know, four interceptions all
right.
year.
All of it is amazing, no matter what
Maybe he should have had 10 if they held on to
I just feel if we're
going to
bring this up at all and kill the guy, we should allow him to come out
and we're not
and
killing
defend
an individual.
Himself.
We're killing the site.
I'm not killing the guy. I'm killing the evaluation.
Saying, you know,
the PPFF.
If we're going to talk about it at all, we should at least get their viewpoint. That's all I'm saying. So,
but we've given them an opportunity, and when they published this, they didn't explain how they got there.
They actually said his receivers had more drops than anybody in the league.
And I actually think
he should have been better.
I think there's a reason they didn't illustrate.
They
how
wanted
they got
the publicity
there.
That we're
they
giving them.
They wanted exactly what we're doing. Exactly.
Then they were killing him for the fact that he threw so many short passes, and it's like.
That's what he's told to do.
I thought it was who did their job the best.
Yeah,
his job on that play was to throw a short pass.
And then he did it successfully.
Right.
Exactly.
That's asinine.
I don't get it.
My point is, if they wanted to illustrate their point of view, they would have. They did it intentionally, so we do exactly what we're doing now.
They're an up-and-coming site, and I don't blame them for that. That's what they need to do to make money, to get more people to come, to buy into the – I believe they have a premium side, all that.
All right. Let's see. Sonny and Mike and Sonny, Florida. Sonny and Mike, Florida, but it's Mike and Sonny, Florida. Like so many others, I was really
disappointed. Is it always sunny there?
Why is Florida so sunny, and why is Mike in her?
Like so many others, I was really disappointed that Bill did not take a front seven pass rusher again this year. I believe it has been several years since this defense was able to stop anyone on third down or prevent easy completions over the middle. I'd be willing to buy lunch if you guys could do the research on the following.
Okay.
I would bet,
Eric, take
that our defense, on average, has been in the bottom 2 to 3 in the league on third downs over the last 5 years.
I'll look it
up. I will buy lunch, one, for the research, and two, if I am wrong.
So you're going to buy two lunches?
No. One, he'll buy the lunch for the research.
Sounds like two to me.
Yeah, if he's like wrong, two. I guess he's saying.
Well, we'll look it up. We'll have it for you on Thursday. I don't have my stats.
Yeah,
with
I think
me.
He's,
if I am
I think,
right,
by the way, he's going to be wrong.
He is going to be wrong, so we get two lunches.
Yeah,
but if he's right,
bitches,
I want Fred to admit that it is either Belichick, the coach's fault, or Belichick, the general manager's fault that our defense sucks. And by the way, what year did Romeo leave?
2004.
Signed Romeo.
In sunny Florida.
That's me, actually, in dismal Kansas City.
Oh, that's right. He is still.
Do you
there.
Think there's any?
Yeah, it's
relevance.
Charlie that went to Florida after the dismal Kansas
That's
City
right.
experience.
Do you think there's any relevance to that? Do you think that maybe Romeo, by nature, was a little bit more aggressive?
Probably.
And he sort of was able to, I don't want to say enforce his will on Bill, because that's overstating.
Maybe convince
it,
him.
Maybe yeah. Maybe
times.
He convinced Bill more often.
Yep.
You know, because they weren't a wild blitzing team in the Super Bowl years, but they did, as Fred pointed
chances,
out earlier
yeah.
in the show, they took their shots.
They
picked their spots.
They had 10 times the talent on defense.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
I don't know how Romeo would play with the dearth of talent that he had.
So you don't think there's any relevance to that?
There may be, but it's hard to read into it in my I've always said I believe the biggest strength of Romeo Crennel was the communicator, the interpreter.
Yep.
The guy who took Bill's game plan and said, here's what it is. I think that's his greatest strength.
But I watched a little of the Kansas City. I'm not going to profess to be an expert on the Chiefs defense.
Studebaker was aggressive when he coming off the
edge. They were a very aggressive defense last year. I watched that Colts game in Indianapolis the week that we were on a bye.
Yes.
And they blitzed Peyton Manning a lot, and that doesn't happen on a regular basis. They got after it a little bit in that game, and I'm wondering if maybe they didn't have an abundance of talent. Now they have Tamba Ali, who makes you look a little bit better than you probably are on defense, and certainly better than any front seven guy they have coming off the coming off the edge. I don't know.
Excuse
maybe
me.
They were a little bit more aggressive when Romeo was here, and maybe it wasn't just about talent.
What was the development? I just saw one of those Dos Equis Most Interesting Man things.
Yeah.
First of all, Eric, I don't know if you know, there's a Twitter feed you can follow with like a new one every day.
They give you a new one
every
day.
Really?
But how did one of the horses became the coolest racehorse ever? Did you see that at all? And they were saying, I forget the name, but it was like, he's such a cool racehorse. When he has to pee, he pees like a race car or something. And like, he had all these phrases with him. And I don't know where it came from, why he became the
I don't
most
even know why you're
racehorse.
Talking about that.
The Kentucky Derby was over the weekend. I don't know if you know, a lot of Patriots were there. Deion Branch, Vince Wilfork, Tom Brady.
That's why you're talking about
was it.
No,
it
is.
I saw Branch last night at the Celtics.
Was it Zenyatta?
They have planes, you know. You don't have to walk back from Kentucky.
No, I know.
Nicole,
they just did a 60 Minutes profile on Zenyatta.
Yeah, it was
last year. Yeah, no,
Zenyatta Jones?
This was one of the horses in this year's race that was considered the most interesting horse or something.
Okay. Arch.
Nicole and Cranston.
I don't think it was him.
Right.
It wasn't him. Macho Man.
Macho Man. Nicole and Cranston says, hello, handsome men of PFW.
Why, thank you.
Giddy up.
Eric's here, too.
I hear a lot of fans, including Fred,
Chaz,
say we'll be better next year when we get back injured players or that this guy is redshirted, etc. But every team can say the same thing. There were a lot of teams that had way more injuries than us and therefore will have the chance to
blasphemy
more than we can. Also, I think Fred reading emails is a lot better than the extra phone calls. Not only do people keep it shorter in emails, but Fred knows how to make them sound better.
Maybe the best email of all time.
Speaking of phone calls, on the phone at 508-298-0398 is Brad in Maryland. Hey, Brad.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Good.
Hey, Brad.
You guys finally getting some good weather up north?
No.
It's cold as crap today.
Very cold today. It has been nice lately, but not
windy.
Today.
Windy. We got this
ocean
storm that backed
its way in.
What's the deal with the wind, Fred? Have you done any research on this? Because it's my contention
it
that it's been windy. Thank you very much for that setup.
That deserved a rim shot. Kevin's not paying attention.
It's my contention it's been windy. It's been windy every day for like at least a year.
Yeah.
Now forget the winter.
And I'll tell you why.
Is it spring, La Nina?
Summer? It's La Nina. It's because the weather is changing so often, it blows in the new weather. That's what the wind is.
I was hoping that maybe you actually.
I think
did
it's
some
probably
research.
La Nina.
What's
yeah,
that?
That's the cold water in the Pacific that
El
causes
Nino.
All. No, there's a La Nina, too. There are two of them.
Oh, really?
Yes, there's the boy
How
and the girl.
How can someone so ignorant be so condescending?
Eric, explain it to me.
It really is.
So how do you...
You even have to laugh at that.
How do you determine male weather from female weather?
I like it when he's doing the sprinkler offense and I'm not involved.
One is the water is warmer than usual and one is the water is colder than usual.
The cold is the Nina, I believe.
And that's causing the wind?
El Nino.
Is that what they're saying?
El Nino is
the
colder
one. I'm being dead serious.
This is fact.
This is not like a PFW-ism where I was like just going off on a tangent. It's been legitimately windy every day last summer. I mean, it was a beautiful summer in terms of heat. It was very warm in the Northeast. Mm. But there was a wind like almost every day, which is fine when it's 90 degrees. It's not so fine when it's 65 or 70 and it makes it feel like, it's like 50.
Right.
Okay, well, anyway.
All right.
Okay.
Go ahead, Brad.
All right.
All right.
Anyway.
I'll catch you.
Back to the discussion long before we got on whether Brady was the 37th best player, which I told Kevin, do not let that guy on the air.
Okay. The fans have spoken.
Paul, I totally agree. Don't need to hear any more from
you. Will you buy lunch if we don't put him on the air?
You had your opportunity. When you published this finding, and I put finding in air quotes, by the way, you had your opportunity to explain it.
You failed.
You
miserably.
Published it. You didn't even try.
Okay, so back to our long-standing discussion of outside linebackers and defensive backs. Having quickly gone to the Patriots website and written down the cornerbacks and safeties that are currently on the roster, we have way too many. Okay. And I'm wondering if Bill is eventually going to get to the point where we run a 7-4 with seven four defensive linemen and seven defensive backs.
That'd be a 4-7.
A 4-7, thank
what about
you.
Mayo?
And, no, anyway, that was my... That
Mayo
was,
would turn into one of the defensive backs?
Yeah.
Right. But my bigger question is,
put him up to the
do
line.
You think that Bill has now gotten to the point with all his drafts and with all his pickups where if you look at the defensive backs, you've got Bodden, McCourty, and Dowling, we'll say, are the top tier. And then you've got Butler, Wilhite, and Arrington. Well, by the time you start getting down to Butler, Wilhite, and Arrington, I do think if Butler can quit running into the guy 20 yards downfield, he's better than the third or fourth wide receiver that would be coming out on a pattern. And so...
In theory.
In theory.
I think it would be Arrington, since Arrington played ahead of Butler last year.
Yeah.
Pick your guy, whichever
of that second tier is going to be better than your fourth wide receiver coming out on a pattern.
Sure.
Do you think Bill is getting to the point where he is going to look at Cunningham, look at Ninkovich, and I will not say Tully, because Tully runs straight into the chest of the nearest offensive lineman. But will he
Unless
say to those
Jonathan
guys,
Scott.
You have what?
Nothing.
You guys have one job and one job only. At the snap of the ball, meet at the quarterback. In other words, no longer do you have to worry about a tight end. No longer do you have to worry about a running back. I've got my defensive backfield. I've got Chung. I've got Sanders. you know, I've got these four defensive backs that are going to be coming in the dime package.
That's Fred's theory in a nutshell. That's what Fred was espousing right after the Dowling pick.
Yeah, but he won't.
They're going to try to do it with coverage.
No, I think that's a sound theory, but
yeah.
I don't think they're just going to unleash them and say, you have no other responsibilities, thoughts, worries in the world. That's just not the way he plays defense.
Don't rush. But on third down, as a general rule, Jermaine Cunningham isn't asked to do a whole lot other than come off the edge.
Right.
So this is, you know, I think
no,
we overrate
this. No, but it's the whole
this.
Situation that, you to know, play you're every in sub-defense 50% of the time now and all that. Well,
thanks for the
call, running,
Brad.
They're running on you, too, when you're in those situations.
No, and Brad's right.
It's not always third and nine. On third and nine, yes. They're actually told, you know, he doesn't need to change anything. They've always been told to meet the quarterback. They just never meet.
That's my point. I think Brad's theory is correct, much like Fred was talking about on the draft weekend right after we took Dowling. But
wait a minute.
I think,
do people think that Tully Bantakane is significantly worse than Rob Ninkovich?
Evidently.
I don't think that's fair.
I've seen nothing out of Jermaine Cunningham so far to say.
No, but he's an unproven.
He's unknown. Yes.
Rob Ninkovich is a six now, right? He was one of your fives last year.
Yeah, he was in that year five feature, right?
So he's a six, and Bandicane is whatever he is, an eight. I mean, those guys are kind of, they're in the mid to latter portions of their career now. At least Cunningham, I'll give him the Paul Perillo year two and maybe the year three jump you like to give people. But I mean, I don't think Bantakane is significantly worse than Ninkovich.
You know how the irony of him asking what it's like to be so condescending and wrong?
No, I said ignorant. I'm not ignorant. Oh. I know exactly what I'm talking about.
I just went with wrong.
Like Fred, it's El Nino. That was as dumb as you've looked on this show because you were Eric-like there. You knew. You thought you knew everything.
did you know everything, Fred?
I did. I have heard of La Nina.
Well, then why'd you jump down my throat like you did?
He's like, he's very. Have you heard
reserved
of
here now?
I have heard. I have heard of.
I have heard of La Nina.
Skype is being bought by Microsoft.
$8.5 billion.
It went from Fred having never heard of it, like a year and a half ago or something.
What
to
Skype?
$8.5 billion.
I've heard of. Skype.
You had never heard of it when I brought it up to you.
I think you confused
Paul
Fred
is
with
the
me.
One that hadn't heard.
Go to the Skype clip. Go to that Skype clip where Fred goes Skype.
The first time I've ever heard of Skype was on this show.
Right.
And I'll freely admit that.
Same with him.
But that was like
vice president of new media.
That was
and he didn't know what
ago.
Skype was.
I believe he knew what Skype was.
I
did not. If Numbnut in there were paying attention,
I can literally hear the echoes in his head when he talks. It's like this vast cavern of nothingness inside that big fat noggin.
La Nina was in there, wasn't in yours. Hey, there's at the Dos Equis.
That's right. You've got a storm going on inside your head. There's no doubt.
$8.5 billion, though? That's unreal.
That's ridiculous.
Stupid is what it is.
It's ridiculous.
Stupid. Although at least it does something, unlike
Twitter. Well, the rumor was Google was going to buy them, and that probably drove the price up.
I think it was Facebook. And
Well, Facebook, you're right. Yeah.
Wow, Freddie. Look at Freddie.
That drove the price up.
Well, yeah, he had a bidding war with two guys with endless pockets, endless resources.
That's like me having a car with only three tires and two people want to buy it, and why are you bidding for it? Why is it so valuable? Tell me how Skype is making all this money.
What an unbelievable cheap shot that was on my boy.
No one cares.
And I'm sure Berea cares.
Larry writes in.
He's doing Miss Puerto Rico. What does he care?
Larry writes in about
sure
the Navy.
Consoled.
He says Navy SEALs train everywhere. And P.S. the Marines use the Navy medics in the field. The Marines do not have any medics. So, anyway. Yeah, Navy
Corps
SEALs.
Navy.
Navy SEALs would have to train anywhere, right?
We don't need no stinking medics. We ain't getting hurt.
Right, it's the SEALs.
They're the ones who need the medics.
The SEALs Marines. who did the operation in Pakistan.
Yeah, Navy SEALs are badass. But again.
They're all badass.
Well, yeah, much badder ass than we are.
Yeah.
We sit in a stupid room and talk about football.
They're very impressive.
We're wastes of human beings.
Greg from the billing department chimes in. He says, I'm still trying to figure out the draft, but I know that it's in Bill We Thrust, so we have to keep the faith. Where are we at with the CBA right now? Will we talk about that? Any new progress?
Nope. Unless there was immediate. I mean, it could happen at any moment.
I've been keeping the Twitter feed going. I'm not seeing anything.
Chaz has got you covered on the Twitter.
Chaz Bono?
Let's not start with that.
Greg also
I'm going to see if I can get this one to stick.
No.
Greg also says, Celts should have won last night, and I wish someone would have gotten that cheap shot bastard D-Wade back for what he did to Rondo. Well, not too much to talk about, but I remember that you guys were talking about celebrity spokespeople for products, and I saw that Willem Dafoe is a spokesperson for Jim Beam. I saw that commercial. It was very, very interesting. He plays all these different characters. It was a pretty good commercial, and at the end of it, you see Paul stumble through, and his wife came through and cut him off. Sorry, Paul. I have to bust your balls, so
these things happen.
Go get them from your wife's purse so I
can. Oh, wow. Nice. She lets me carry them
around. You better be careful there. Paul's going to beat you until you stop breathing.
Good job, Fred, with dropping some profanity the other day, and you might be right about Bill's assessment of you. All right, have a good one, and I'll definitely be calling in soon whenever we can. Whenever we do have a season, I would like to buy you guys lunch for week one. So hopefully we won't have one
Save
until 2012. By the way, what did Mendenhall say last week? I didn't hear it.
All I can tell you is if my brother wasn't there, I'd still be on him pounding the shit out of him.
Okay,
and he just swore.
Okay.
Mendenhall Barry said we never Barry got Bin Laden's side of the story.
Barry Melrose was 6 years in the NHL as a player.
He was
Mendenhall is ridiculous.
He was questioning how we could be so happy that someone that we've never actually heard speak was dead.
And he also implied that it was an inside job. He's one of those nut jobs.
Right. Zach, and I don't want to say the name of his town, but because I think...
It's not Syracuse?
No, he might be... kidding with us.
Setting you up.
But knowing the type of towns that they have in the UK, it could be a legitimate name.
So why don't you spell it out for us?
Well, it's Cock and Take.
I asked him to spell it out, and he says it.
How do you spell it?
Cockintake.
There's no chance. It can't be.
It's actually I know they have these bars that, you know, they call them the cock and balls, you know? So they do. I mean, it's like...
The Cockle Gobbler. The Cockle Gobbler.
It's actually Cockintake.
What?
It's Cockintake.
It's Cockintake.
And it's in Japan. Right.
Anyway, he says, hey guys, an angry Eric.
Eric has not been angry today at all. He's back to normal Eric.
No.
Yeah, I'm very upset about that.
Does Bill destroy his big boards from past drafts? It would be interesting to see how his evaluations panned out. You guys should link your personal Twitters to the PFW blog. And when do we dump Merriweather? We can't afford his freestyling antics anymore, and he has a something voice. But
what's the something?
Effeminate?
Mike
Yeah,
Tyson?
Effeminate.
Gay?
No.
Oh.
We don't say that on this
Sorry.
Show.
Who? What?
Merriweather.
We can say cock and balls.
Yeah, I mean,
you can't say gay. We've said it before in this show. We would love to be able to see exactly how Bill has these guys evaluated. It would be fascinating.
It'd be great if you let us do the show from the war room.
The board they take down. The board is actually a board, so they take that down. But the binders, I don't know if you've ever seen the binders they use. I mean, they keep all that stuff. And Bill talks about going back to review stuff. And I remember him coming out, and I look back at
my files. Did you know they have the board under lock and key?
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah, they have things that come down. Like those.
Is it like a magnet? Like magnetic things?
Yeah.
It's a whiteboard with magnets on it.
But it's like those bad neighborhoods when they cover the door with that light.
Oh, and they put the little lock on it?
Yeah, they have that.
Like the storefronts, they have those.
Yeah, that.
You know, in front of the bodega?
There's like lasers across the floor. If you want to get in, you have to like squirm on the floor like a worm to get under the laser beams.
And you've done that, right?
You tried it, right?
And you've done that off from Tampa.
And then his shoulders got in and went, wee, 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 wee. And then Andy tried it and his head around it.
You're the only one who made it. Paul's belly set it off.
Oh, Eric just walked right through it.
Just walked right underneath it.
Eric has to...
The nose?
Eric has to run around
in the
shower.
It actually went off when he was out in the hallway because his nose went in.
Daniel writes that he says, I was at Gillette during the draft. I forgot to mention last time that I was at Gillette for the first day of the draft getting quotes from members of the media, and I was hoping to meet with you guys. I think I may have actually been sitting nearby a few of you during Bill's press conference, but I wasn't sure till I heard Paul's voice as you were leaving, and I didn't want to hold you guys up. I was the guy off to the left with the yellow lab. Oh, I saw.
It was
a service dog.
The dog was checking.
I wanted to pat the dog, but I didn't. Are you allowed
to pass? You're supposed to ask the person if you
don't
can.
Just touch him.
You can't just go up and touch them.
It was laying at Fred's feet, and he was eyeing it, but he wasn't sure what to do.
I wanted to pat the dog.
Yeah, you just have to ask the person if it's okay.
That's too bad that he didn't introduce himself. Yeah. I did see them. That's too bad.
Anyway, looking forward to getting bounced out of the
playoffs.
Andy
would have talked to you.
Andy would have been
off. Go get a drink.
Andy would have been off behind the velvet rope somewhere, but the three of us would have been happy to say that.
Anyway, looking forward to getting bounced out of the playoffs this year without an impact pass rusher. I know Bill was a secondary coach, but no matter how many corners you have, coverage breaks eventually. That's true.
Okay, let's play a little game. Which
non-impact player will become the biggest impact player in 2011. Somebody who wasn't a big impact player last year will make that
not
jump.
Counting guys that
not
were out injured.
Guys who were no. I mean somebody developing that you go
guys who were on the team then not like free agent additions.
Yeah, or, Eric Moore, Jermaine Cunningham.
I don't know how you can go
Taylor
anyway
Price.
But Cunningham.
It's gotta, I'm going Taylor Price.
Gotta be Cunningham.
I say he catches 50 balls. 50 balls. Five touchdowns.
Yeah, especially if they don't get anybody in free
agency.
That's
my guy.
He's going to have to play.
The price is right.
Are you going on individual or making the team better?
What?
Is he going to like individually have a better season or is
does he make the offense better by getting 50 catches and five touchdowns or whatever you asked?
Probably not.
Oh, you're just going on individual?
Because they had the best offense last year. Yeah, I'm just going individual.
Because there's
going
to be more statistically to point you to Price. I think it's got to be Cunningham. It's got to be Cunningham.
So you think they'll be 31st in third down defense, and you'll say he was the reason they moved up a spot.
No, I mean, I think if Price were to get 50 catches and five touchdowns, I don't think that Cunningham will exceed that that correlation statistically.
Right.
I don't think he'll get 12 sacks or 10 sacks.
I don't think he will either.
But I do think he'll be a more active pass rusher than he was last year and improve and in turn, that will help the defense more
it's really only a
than Price's
race,
production will help the offense.
I think it's really between those two guys because, I mean, Eric Moore was an impact player when he got here, even though he was a
he could have a step up, though.
I would include him.
Yeah, could include him if
right
you
now, I'd have him not making the team, to be honest with you. I'd have him not making the team. So if he were to have a big impact next year, that qualifies
he'll
for his game.
He'll make the team.
I think he might make
that qualifies for of course he might.
But I'll say Tom Brady.
But right now, I wouldn't.
He's going to improve on his 33rd ranking with Pro Football Focus.
A very good point.
Can only
Fred.
Go up.
A very good point.
Can only go up according
MVP,
to PFF
voting.
What about Ben Jarvis Green Ellis?
I don't think he can get any better than he is.
I think he's a guy that statistically it might not be he's not going to rush for 2,000 yards.
Yeah, I think he could.
But he could be better, and he could become.
He could get more than 1,000 yards.
Right.
But I think his average will probably drop as a result, and I'd be surprised.
Well, that would be down
if he scores as many touchdowns.
I'm not even talking. I'm talking about you think of the running game as something you plan for. I thought last year he got a lot of his yards. He just got them.
That's what I think.
But I think he could become a guy, maybe, that you say, okay, I got a plan for him. He's going to get his yards unless I stop him.
Well, I think they need that.
But I'd still go with Price.
Jeff in Carrollton, Texas.
Price
breaking news. Both the players and owners have come to an agreement. Both sides point to this episode of PFW in Progress as the primary reason an agreement was reached. Goodell was quoted as saying, I can't take any more of the great debate, and I don't believe the fans can either. NFLPA head Smith also added, the fear is that if this argument continues throughout the lockout, that Andy Hart's head may very well explode, and most likely Fred will finally succumb to the big one.
Yeah, well,
that's not something the players are willing to deal with. We don't want blood on our hands. And in the end, neither did the owners. Congratulations, fellas. Your nonsense and inanity have finally paid off.
You know what? That email took a little turn for the harsh at the end there, I thought. I thought it was
all
in good fun.
A little sarcasm?
I thought the shot was all in good fun until the end there. I thought that was a little...
I think he's okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think Goodell was actually quoted as saying, I was sick and tired of Fred Kirsch calling me a child.
Sick and tired of making a dollar.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Now, were they being serious when they tweeted out that it went to a dollar and his first direct deposit was 7 cents or something? Like it legitimately got a deposit of 7 cents? Because that's pretty funny. That made me
That
laugh.
Would be funny.
And yeah, the whole situation not so funny. But.
What about D. Smith? Didn't he go to 67 cents? Was his supposed to be his yearly... why does my mic sound weird?
I don't know.
Is it potted up all the way?
Sound fine to me.
Sounds weird.
You sound normal to
headphones.
Me. It's not fine, but it's how you always sound.
Chaz. Stop.
Chris with a TIAN.
Chaz on the ninth green.
Chris with a TIAN writes in, he says, I read somewhere, of course I forgot where, that there is only one quarterback in the top 10 on that list, that PFF list. Really? One quarterback in a quarterback-driven league? So they must have a funny way of scouting players.
Well, they are from Ireland. They're drunk.
That's part of my... feeling on the entire process.
Fred, we were talking about the ranking and the player ranking with Brady being 33rd by Pro Football Focus. ESPN just has released a top 10 NFL owners list.
Ooh, Robert's number 3.
2.
Guesses?
I'd say he's 1.
He's number 2. Paul is correct.
Oh.
The Rooney family
gets number one.
They love the Rooney
Such
family.
A scam.
Robert, number two.
It's a sham of a list.
They love the Rooney family.
Number three is the Packers Executive Committee.
That talk about a sham.
The Tisch family is Maritish families. The Giants are fourth. Jeffrey Lurie, five. Steve Bisciotti from Baltimore, six. Ursay of the Colts, seven. Jerry Jones, eight. Arthur Blank of Atlanta, nine. And Woody Johnson, Jets.
Woody Johnson.
Oh. 10th best owner in the NFL, according to ESPN.com.
My God.
Where'd Ralph Wilson finish?
Yeah, Dan Snyder didn't make the top 10?
Did not.
No.
Mike Brown?
No. Did not. No.
Okay.
Wayne but it Weaver? Sounds like it's kind of just rated on success. Like
kind of, yes.
Record-wise.
Steelers, Patriots.
Yeah.
Packers.
Well, although Ursay's not in there, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh. He was seventh.
And I heard Lurie, too, right?
Yeah. Lurie was fifth.
So all the good teams are in there.
Like, Jerry Jones is the first. The team hasn't been that good, not a lot of playoff success, but he's in there. Mm-hmm. But like Bisciotti, I mean, all he did was take over from Modell. They were good. They were competitive. I mean, they stayed good and competitive. Why is he so great?
Atlanta Falcons, they're ninth. I mean, they've had some success recently, but not
Plus he was on
Super
that commercial with the bus.
Our favorite
Ready?
One. Yeah.
Right. Dan Heffron writes, in focusing on the other Dan's question, which would you take? And that debate that we just had.
That guy's going to get mad.
The St. Louis Rams from 1999 to 2009, excluding 2001, basically win a Super Bowl and then stink for 10 years. The Indianapolis Colts from 2000 to 2010, excluding the Super Bowl season, really good for 10 years but no championship. Now you have real teams to look at.
Who was the other team?
The Rams from 99 to 2009 or the Colts 2000 to 2010. I would take.
They both won a title.
Yeah, I don't know what. Which would you take?
I would take the Colts, definitely.
Under that,
because they were good every year, or whatever. I mean,
yeah, under that scenario, I would take the Colts too. But the scenario that we were presented with, you didn't stink every year.
Mm.
You were competitive. You were 8-8.
You're mediocre.
So I don't want to go 4-12, 3-13 every year. That's just miserable. I lived that from 89 to 92.
We did that for a while.
I don't want to do that again.
Rodney from PFF sends us a link that explains Rodney. Why Brady was, but I'm not going to read it.
It's you wanted to have him on the show. Now he sends his explanation.
That's too
you
much
don't
work.
Read
I
it.
Have to click on the link. It has to go to the internet.
Poor thing.
You know, then I have to wade through and get to the substance of it because I'm sure it's very convoluted.
If you find any at all.
Wow. Why don't you read it and do something in there?
Yeah, highlight the important sentences.
Get off Facebook. Stop counting your likes.
James in Brisbane writes in.
Now, if he leaves, if he makes my prediction correct, then we'll literally have no one to do the show. What are we going to do?
We could call most interesting fan in the world. Maybe he would want to come by.
We'll have a chimp come down and
bring
fill
those gifts that he brought to the draft and then brought home with him.
Wow.
Indian giver.
Yeah, are you mad at us? Are you mad at us, James? Thank you for buying lunch today, by the way.
Yes,
we'll get
two
gender
lunch.
To come back. He'll bring some Pepsi.
Why would he be all set?
Well, because he brought
he
us
took
gifts
our
and
away.
Then took them away and said he was coming back and never did, and we haven't heard from him since.
Indian giver. Indian giver.
I thought for sure, James, you said you were coming back on Saturday.
I thought so, too.
Or on Friday.
Friday.
Thursday.
Yeah,
it was
Thursday
here, right?
He was here.
Me,
and then
he told me maybe Saturday.
I thought
he never
for sure he said he was coming back, and that's why he took the gifts. He wanted to do it on the air.
He wanted to do it on the air, yeah.
Bottom line is I didn't get no gift.
Plus, he was dressed to the nines for that.
Well, that was Kevin's fault. He told him he had to.
I didn't.
He asked if he could wear jeans, and
if
Kevin said no.
And all of us were wearing jeans. All of us were wearing jeans.
Have you seen our media?
I mean,
yeah.
Seriously.
There probably wasn't one other member of the media.
Ian Rappaport.
Who didn't do something on TV that didn't have jeans on.
Rich Garvin, hat all the time.
Shorts, hat, shorts,
and Paul Perillo, hat, and whatever else he does.
I had a hat on. I was dressed normally. We did TV that night.
That's training camp.
Paul, I think you should start wearing a fedora.
No.
You're walking around with a cane.
Is that what Brady had on at the derby?
And a cape.
What exactly was that? What was that?
I thought it was more of a bonnet.
Did you see it, Fred? You know hats.
Who's this?
Brady at the Derby, the hat he had on.
I didn't see it.
It was kind of a, I mean,
was
it
a
was more fedora-like, and it had the blue strap around it, like a golf hat would or whatever. I don't know exactly what
it might have been one of those golf hats.
Kind
of, like
yeah.
Norman
yeah,
line.
Kind of along that line, but a little different.
Not a pith hat?
No, it wasn't a pith hat.
Go pith in your hat.
Was it a coal miner's hat? It had a little light on the front?
No.
It wasn't a bowler, was it?
I don't know what a bowler is.
The small hats. Brian Cox used to wear them, I think. Remember the small hat?
Well, you know, he's not the kind of man to suck another man's.
Let's see. James and
Brisbane.
Highlight
of my career.
Hey,
here.
Guys, and Eric, I much prefer when you are angry, Eric. It makes the show much more amusing.
I totally agree.
Chaz, I'm trying to push him over the line. He just won't go.
No, I'm not going to go there.
I was trying to find out exactly how I would classify this draft, and I believe it was Paul who said it best. We got plenty of good players, but the fact we did not get a highly rated pass rusher will always hang over this draft. It will take me a while to remember which running back is which, but the one who is meant to be like Morris Ridley will be a big help, I feel. I have a question and a game for you guys today.
Wait a minute. Let me answer that first part first. So you're telling me if Nate Solder becomes a six-time All-Pro left tackle,
then I would be wrong.
Rozai Dowling,
just like Richard Seymour,
goes to a Pro Bowl, and Shane Vereen becomes a 1,500-yard back.
Then I would be wrong. This draft will not be remembered for not taking a pass rusher.
Well, the quote was, this draft will always have hanging over it the fact that you didn't get it. And no, that, it won't. Not if all the other players are great.
No, that's what
if
this
Ryan
guy,
Mallett is what his coach thinks, and he's a 15-year pro in the
but that's what this guy believes, and I happen to share
that. Well, he
was
quoting you.
Right.
So you spouted
that's what
out
I believe.
This nonsense.
I believe they got good players, but they will always regret not getting a guy to rush the pass.
It'll either be a crappy draft because all the guys they drafted are crappy, or no one will remember the pass rusher because all the guys they drafted are good. It's all about talent.
I have a question and a game for you guys today. First of all, the question. If Bill Belichick was being honest and said to you guys, we had our sights set on Alden Smith in the draft and thought he was going to be there at 17 to take, would that make you feel a bit better about not taking a pass rusher at 17? Given the grades available, I think Smith should have been there at 17 and the 49ers reached. Would it make you feel better?
Would it make me feel better? No, it wouldn't. Because they still had the ammunition to get there if they really wanted
it. It would make me feel better.
It would.
On that specific one. Not if it were Kerrigan or Quinn. That wouldn't make me feel better because
you feel you should go
that,
get that.
That was an easy one to go get. Seven, I wouldn't have made the move to go to seven to get him either.
Now
it wouldn't make me feel better at all.
No?
No.
I think they want a pass rusher. I don't care. I want one.
It would make
get
me
one.
Feel better right. to know that they felt the same way.
Put
it
one
would,
in there.
It would make me feel better.
Now for the game. During his time in New England, Bill has passed over some highly touted pass rushers. Assuming he was under some sort of truth serum or being tortured by Jack Bauer and was giving honest opinions, what players, in particular pass rushers, that he has passed on in the draft at the initial spot of the Patriots were picking in, would you like to know about? That means they had to be on the board still when the Patriots went to pick. So no guys like Quinn or Ware. My list includes Clay Matthews, Anthony Spencer, Manny Lawson. Any of those guys would have helped out right now.
I'd even be curious about Sergio Kindle from last year.
Oh, I'd be interested in Kindle because the jury's still out, so I find that one interesting.
Who are you waving at?
ESPNBostonRadio.com or whatever their thing is.
The quote-unquote competitors?
They probably have a live replay playing right now.
A live replay.
They
playing.
Always air live replays.
Well, Manny Lawson never really amounted to much, right?
They actually have a script, Andy, and they just read the whole show over again.
He's been a bust, absolutely. He was I believe he was the ninth pick.
Yeah,
he's in Oakland now, right?
Oh, he left the Niners?
Don't know where.
Yeah. No, that's Wembley.
Wembley's been okay.
Wembley. Yeah, I'm thinking of Wembley. Forget it. Stadium. But I don't think there's that many that Bill would regret. There's probably not that many that I would regret. Because the one that I think Bill and I share the same view on is Clay Matthews.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was going to suck. He didn't suck. What do you want me to tell you?
And I don't think he regrets that.
No, nor should he.
Because he thought he was going to suck.
I don't think
you
got to
trust
Clay
your
Matthews.
Assessments. You
no, can, I
you say I was wrong, but you got to trust. You can't change what you're doing, I don't think.
But the part that I would veer from what they think is every draft has guys that can do the things that you want them to do. You have to find the ones that can do it. And they haven't. They haven't tried, really. Jermaine Cunningham was really the only attempt.
And they didn't even really try. The pass rusher on his team ended up in Cincinnati, Carlos Dunlap.
Okay.
A lot of emails.
William Roeder writes in, I side with the owners 100%. My interests and theirs are perfectly aligned. Our priority is for the team to win. Players are mercenaries. At a whim, they will hold out for more, campaign to be traded, jump to another team, even a rival, threaten to retire, etc. They are concerned first and foremost with their personal success, their stats, and their contracts. They commit themselves to a career, not to a team. I pull for the Pats in secondarily whoever is wearing the uniform each season to help the team win, but not for any single player or the players as a group. My heart is with the owners, who I think care as much about the team's success as I do, even if it is for different reasons. P.S. I hope Logan Mankins gets his wish and finishes his career with some irrelevant team in a limp market where he can display his talents in front of a disappointing crowd, a disinterested media, and then he can fade into football obscurity so I never have to hear his name again.
Wow.
Wow. William Roeder is upset. Wow.
What about re-signing long-term with New England? Isn't that a possibility?
I don't think he wants that anymore. Doesn't sure. sound like he likes the way Logan
yeah,
is handled.
I am,
doesn't like his comportment?
Nope.
Aside from the really mean stuff about Logan Mankins at the end, I could see a fan taking that perspective because I agree with him. I think players generally are about their careers and number one, and the owners are going to stay. The owners, most of them, certainly ours, the number one goal is to win titles. Mm-hmm. And to do with what's in the best interest of the franchise, not necessarily the individual players on the franchise
at any
given time.
You certainly can't blame the players for their position.
No,
that's
no.
what they have
no,
to do.
No, but I think William is right. If you're a Patriots fan, I'm going to concern myself with the givens, the thing that I know is going to stay constant, and that's the ownership. Robert Kraft is here, and in my opinion anyway, his goal is to do what's in the best interest of the Patriots every year. That's not necessarily the same goal for everybody that's in the locker room, all the players. Now, I disagree with on this particular lockout issue as to who is, more right or more wrong, but I think that's a pretty reasonable way to look at it if you're a fan. Now, the Logan Mankins stuff, that was a bit harsh.
Yeah. John is in hot as hell Phoenix. He says, Google Markell Carter. He has a Facebook page and a MySpace page, but that's besides the point. If you watch his highlight videos on YouTube, he gets to the quarterback but doesn't get the sack. The bulk of what I have seen were quarterback pressures forcing the ball out. That's just the feeling I got watching his videos, and if that's the case, maybe if Bill saw that it fits very well with the addition of Dowling upgrading the secondary, if Carter could pressure the quarterback into getting rid of the ball early before the routes can fully develop, we could see more interceptions. I still don't have a ton of faith in Carter, though. He has a huge uphill battle, and I will most likely be a project player. Can't wait for the free agency. I want to see Bill go after Herzlick. I think based on this year's draft, Bill may be willing to roll the dice on him, and it would pay off huge.
I wouldn't hold out your hopes for that.
No, but I think he's going to be here in this camp, don't you think?
No.
Mark Herzlick?
No.
No? He's going to go somewhere else?
Yeah.
Really?
I have no idea.
I think he'll go somewhere.
We'll have to ask one of those agents who's breaking all of the rules.
Yes. Well, the teams are breaking the rules.
Well,
too.
Both of them, yeah.
Actually, the agents aren't breaking any rules.
Kevin Prince.
They're
not.
They have no ties to anybody, so they can do whatever the hell they want. Wild Wild West.
Wild
Wild West. Chaz.
Kevin printed out the criteria that Pro Football Focus used for quarterbacks, and just in case you guys didn't know, it's not based on numbers yet. There's a 13-page document here breaking down.
That's why I didn't go.
How they,
and it's completely arbitrary.
And they have it based broken down, simplified, quote unquote, simplified.
If you have to do that much explaining, then it's flawed.
They have five basic
It's
tenets.
Not that complicated. Is he good or not?
They have five basic tenets that they use to judge a quarterback's play. And they have it's all number-based, by the way, for the not numbers involved. 0.0 base pay.
A lot of air quotes being thrown around by Paul Perillo over there.
They have a plus 0.5 base play, a plus 1.0 base play, 1.5, and... It has a symbol here that I don't know what it means, the open-ended parenthesis, plus 0.5 bonus. I don't know if that's something. That's for crunch time.
They
plays.
Also have negatives.
So it's 100% entirely based on numbers.
So basically they've come up with a formula where 1 plus 1 does not equal 2, and they're saying that's why we did it.
Plays graded 0.5 to 2.0. Tom Brady finished behind Aaron Rodgers, Philip Rivers, Matt Ryan, Peyton Manning, and Drew Brees. He had 152 of those compared to over 200 for all the rest
of
them.
But if you read the criteria for each one of those things, Paul, your eye might see a certain play as 1.0.
But that's fine. That's an evaluation. That's
okay.
But it's completely strictly based on numbers. It's
right. They're great.
Totally disingenuous to say it's not based on numbers.
But they're grading them on every play, essentially.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you're
from
also
zero to plus 2.5 or minus.
Yeah, like his 0 point, just, I'm not going to read them all, but 0.0 base play, they define as any throw you expect any player to make. Hitting a guy open on a one step slant with off coverage is zero, no matter how many yards it makes. It's a smart decision, but a throw that anyone can
make. So you should take
make.
Chances needlessly to get good points to be up in their rating.
It's not.
Plus, somebody should tell Jamarcus Russell that that's a throw anybody would make, because he wouldn't.
Right. Well, that's beside the point. And I would also say,
so he would get minus two on that or whatever.
Again, as we often say with numbers, you're completely taking away the intellectual side of the game.
Right.
So Tom Brady throws to a guy who's wide open, and he's not rewarded as much as a guy who might have threaded the needle into double coverage, which is 1.5 base play.
How can you?
Because if
that?
You beat tight double coverage, you get more points for that.
And what about hitting the receiver in stride, right, where he can make
exactly
a play as
and
opposed
you,
to a completion?
If you have better receivers,
still a completion, but he falls down.
If you have better receivers that can gain separation, you're penalized as a quarterback.
And Andy's view of what's wide open is going to be different than Paul's yeah view, which
it's
is going to be different than mine.
As
no,
I said,
see, but
the first word
I
use for this,
that
idiotic, holds.
I don't care about the differences. I understand what you're saying, Cal. I don't, yeah, but I don't care the differences if you and I view a play differently.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
That's common. See, what I'm saying is Tom Brady is losing points for making the right decision.
When you're yeah
Tom Brady, instead of double coverage over
instead
the middle into three guys, he's hitting a guy who's wide open over here. And he's only getting zero play, and the other guy's getting 1.5 if he's able to complete
whatever
the pass.
You're doing a scientific experiment, you create a baseline truth where you start with something that you know is a fact and then work off of there. What they should be doing is, we know that Tom Brady is one of the best players in the league. If our numbers don't add up to that, there has to be a flaw there.
You know, like, remember the Super Bowl against Philadelphia when Brady looked over the middle, looked to his left, looked over the middle, and all of a sudden he shot back to the right, the far right. No one, like, you're looking, you're like, how could he have known David Givens was over there with no one on him? Well, he gets a zero for that, according to this formula. He didn't use his legs. He didn't beat the rush or avoid a sack or anything. He just surveyed the field until he found someone who was wide open. And then the throw part of that, Andy or I could have made.
Right.
Eric, you might have kicked it there.
You know Rodney right now is frothing at the mouth, trying to, like, he wants to answer everything we're saying. And, yeah, but just let me call. I want to answer.
You know what? I actually say congrats to Rodney, because he did what he probably wanted and what Pro Football Focus wanted.
Get
he's gotten us to
site
talk about this for two
exactly
two different shows. Now, listen, we're in a little bit of a dead period. I don't know if you know, there's a lockout going on. We don't
right
have a lot to discuss.
If there weren't a lockout, we probably wouldn't be talking that
but,
much.
But, you know,
about
I don't question Rodney or anybody else at the site. We talked to the guy, very nice man, in Buffalo last mm-hmm year. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when we had the conversation, the three of us?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I don't question that they work hard and they do a lot of evaluating and watch a lot of film.
Ray Ventrone works hard too.
Exactly.
I just don't want him starting safety.
I question how much you're getting out of it.
However, henceforth,
we will never mention Pro Football Focus on this.
Any dumb statement is now labeled a PFF.
So as opposed to a BFF, yeah, which is Will McDonough for Tom Brady.
Are they still BFFs?
I don't know.
Even
maybe
though he doesn't work
up
for him anymore.
Is Monday Night Raw that's now moving in?
Let's see.
Okay,
I still can't picture him.
Todd writes in about reports in from the Kentucky Derby. Says Brady was wearing a Cuban fedora.
I told you it was like
fedora.
A fedora.
And
that
Fred,
hand rolled?
Fred, your dream Fred, your dream about men assaulting your tools in the backyard is very odd. You should talk to someone.
There are some homoerotic issues there.
Andy would know.
I get a kick out of Zolak. I think he mixes information with entertainment pretty well. And my favorite story about him was back in his playing days, one of the local TV channels did an interview with him from his basement. And he had an autographed framed jersey of himself on his wall. He said he bought it at a memorabilia shop because it was gathering dust.
And I have some good stories. Ah,
I just remember Parcells talking about Zolak. He goes, and then you got Zolak at practice throwing balls off the back of helmets.
Zolak?
Now there's a guy, Paul, who would have seen David Givens on the other side of the field.
That's crap. Terrible. Even for you, that's terrible.
TG and NJ, whatever.
That's pretty good observation.
It goes back to the debate we had. Whatever scenario you agree to, 8-8, 14-2, I only want that however they get there. I don't want to ever lose the Super Bowl game. The Pats are 3-3 in the big game. It'd be nice to get above 500. Also, you guys said the Pats choked in 2007. Did they? Really?
Yes.
I never felt that to be the case. They lost, of course, but is it really classified as a choke?
Yes. Yeah. The greatest one of all time.
I think that if
I don't know if I'd go that far. Look, but it's nice to have Angry Eric back.
I have to be honest. If you're looking at this from outside,
that was a joke.
And the Patriots going into this game is what, a 12-point favorite, 14-point favorite?
How would you briefly? How would you define?
I mean, the Rams
choke?
Choked when they.
I agree.
When
they did. I totally agree. How would you define choke?
When you're expected to win, you should win, and you lose.
Well, I define it as when you show a pattern of being able to play a certain way, and then in a big spot, you don't play that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Don't play up to your level.
If they had just gone out and lost, say, 38-35, the opposite of what they had won a month prior in the Meadowlands, yep. I would say, well, they lost, but, you know,
that was the
Giants showed up and, you know, they did it.
Right.
This offense that averaged all these points that year.
They looked scared in that game. They
didn't execute the way they had. In the defense, which had prided itself that year on, making big plays at key times. It wasn't a great defense all year, but they prided itself on being able to close the door in the fourth quarter, had two opportunities to do it, and they couldn't.
Yep.
To me, they choked. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. The Rams absolutely choked in 2001.
Sure. You know? But I think the Rams, choked for the same reason the Patriots did. They were hit with a game plan that, for whatever reason, they were not prepared for.
And didn't adjust well.
Yeah.
To.
You know? I don't know why the Patriots weren't prepared for guys rushing Brady. But,
actually, I shouldn't say that. The Rams did really adjust pretty well in the second half
of
the game.
Yes, they did, but it was too little too late.
It was too little.
Yeah. Well, and the Patriots did. They put themselves in position to win. They drove to a touchdown.
That's true.
Now, I would say Paul's thing about, how did you phrase it? Not
playing the way you normally play. Not playing
the epitome of that to me is when I thought, okay, here's where they drive down the field for the field goal, and they just started chucking bombs. To me, they got out of themselves.
That's part of it.
To me, that's the ultimate.
That's part of it. The coaches choked.
They lost confidence in who they'd been for a decade.
Fourth and 13, going for it, to me, is a choke.
Right.
I think there's a lot of elements of they were choking. Out of character that day. They didn't do what they normally did from the top and Bill Belichick to every assistant right on down to the 53rd man. Well, you know what? I'm going to leave the 53rd man out of it. Because Ray Ventrone laid
his
whooping.
Job.
That's right, laid a whooping on that kickoff.
That's one of the sad things of that loss, because if they had won,
that would have been another
play.
Great play. Yep.
That would have been another play celebrated in New England.
Exactly.
Sports
war. Ray Ventrone would be in the Hall of Patriot plays
that
for that hit.
Meaningless.
You know, they pin him back inside the 10. Things are going great. You know, oh, geez, I don't even want to get into it.
Yeah.
It's a terrible way to end the show.
Andy's girl.
Just Andy, a terrible floor's way. Direct girl is on.
She's got a jaw like a pit bull.
Angry Fred.
This is the carpet lady.
The carpet lady.
On TV.
I'd like to see her carpet.
Hey, now. I wonder if it's Shag.
Oh.
Yeah, baby.
Mom says I want to be a lesbian. I got to eat carpet.
Beaver Stadium. Beaver Stadium.
Speaking of, where's Lindsay? She knows she's
Dick Stadium.
She should be here.
Speaking of what?
Speaking of carpet.
No, that was Lindsay on the shopping.
Speaking of carpet, where is Lindsay?
Yeah,
I watched her this morning. She was on All Access interviewing Nate Solder.
She should be stopping in right now, don't you think? You know
what?
Shouldn't she be stopping in? And
she's afraid of you.
She's afraid of me.
Yes.
I don't know, but you were the one that made everybody uncomfortable.
Oh, I need to say hi to Meech,
by the way. That was great. That was the best part of the show.
Meech, my Twitter flirt Italian fan.
Oh, I thought it was Meech.
Apparently, she
Meech
has
Barton.
Big boobs and good meatballs. That's what she told me on Twitter. She's got what I need.
I'm going to tell his wife that she needs to start following her husband on Twitter.
No, she doesn't.
Why? Yeah. Even his wife doesn't have any interest.
No, all she right. needs to find out what he's doing with all
no,
of these.
Like when I tweet, it's a MILF convention here in Indy. She doesn't need any of those.
That's going to be it for this. Actually, it was a young cheerleader convention that he was talking about.
No, I wasn't.
There were MILFs. Huh. Yeah.
A lot of times the MILFs go with the young cheerleaders.
Right. Yes, that's
they
true.
Do up the daughters like they do themselves.
What do they do? What?
Shut up.
All right, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress.
Try to be a little
we'll
bit more
be back on Thursday with another edition, Keeping the Flame Alive here at
we'll
Gillette
be live
Stadium.
At the Cock and Balls.
The Cockle Gobbler. The Cockle Gobbler.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to PFWOnline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.